And now, your Bad Radio Report's correspondents, Bob Sturm, Dan McDowell, and Donovan Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. We're joined today by the hardline for Bad Radio Reports, it appears. It's Mike Reiner. Hi, Mike.
Good evening.
Good afternoon. Over there is Corby Davidson. Hi, Corby.
Hey, Bobo.
You know, gentlemen, I'm in the middle of a project at home. I reference it quite frequently in the last week or so, but bear with me. New listeners all the time. And the project that I'm working on is converting all...
Holy S!
That tower...
Oh, man.
That's going to be bad.
Oh, my God.
Heavy wind.
We just had a tsunami roll through here.
Heavy wind at camping.
Too soon.
Very much too soon. Anyway, the project at home is to...
What just fell?
Like a wireless tower, I think.
Oh, no.
The project is to convert all my audio tapes into MP3s. So I have a big stack of audio tapes from college, Lynchburg, and early Ticket.
What a beating.
Does this
Mike,
guy know how to party or what?
Do you have anything like that? Like, I have a box full of tapes, too. A beer box full.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I have a ton of tapes, but I've never converted them to anything, and I'm certain that I never will.
It's quite easy, actually. As I have a Walkman,
like
that,
you got 19...
besides, entirely too much of that sort of thing has been popping up on me here lately.
I just hook up a Walkman to the Mac, hit play, and go do something, and in 90 minutes the tape stops, and then you just...
What's a Walkman?
Do a little editing. Back in the day, we used to listen to tapes on...
What's a tape?
A portable tape player.
What's a portable...
A tape used to... Forget it.
Is it like a
anyway,
photograph?
I found a piece of audio that I wanted to share with you today, gentlemen. It is Diamond Talk, circa 1999, back when it was hosted by two members of the Hardline.
And you save this because...
I think you'll find out soon enough.
Oh, excellent.
Here is mid-June 1999, Diamond Talk on the Ticket.
All right, now in addition to this being a win over the Yankees, there was something just about as rare that happened out at the Temple tonight. We sit at these games in a booth on the press level, two booths down from Ranger Radio and right next to the visiting radio. Now, 6 years ago when the Temple opened, it became apparent, that was year one of the Little Ticket, and it became apparent to John Blake, the Rangers media relations vice president, that the Ticket would probably have more people out there on a given night than any other radio station. And
by the way, Mike, if you'd ever like to stop or start, we have the ability to do so.
All right, well, let's just stop right there and say that has since been disproven.
Yes, we have since lost that great booth, but, you know, times are tough.
He also was mindful of the fact that in the press box we would probably cause more trouble than any other radio station.
That was his main motivation.
Yeah, he wanted some way to accommodate us, accommodate all the people that we have out there on a given night. But he also wanted us out of his hair and in a place where we wouldn't bother anybody. So he has let us use one of the nights when no excess television, i.e. a national network or some such is there. He lets us use one of the auxiliary television booths, and that's the booth that we've used for 6 years.
That's the Ticket Luxury Suite.
Is this a product of a 10-year-old tape that Mike sounds a little squeaky? Doesn't he sound a little different?
I don't know.
His voice is a little higher, but you know what? I think all of ours, if you go back 10 years...
Really? We've just matured? It's not that the tape sits there and ages?
Probably both.
Yeah,
right?
Actually, a combination.
Probably what it is I gave a damn then.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's continue.
Right.
Wow.
Now, in that time, for the first 5 years, there was never a foul ball hit up in that booth.
5 years. Never once. And you and I make most of these games.
Yeah, we've been out here for most of these. Now, this year, though, that's changed.
Pause it.
Not too long.
Who's that?
Does this involve... Does this involve me?
No. This is not about
so you. So you're not interested now, right?
I got to go to
why
take
am
a
I
nap
listening?
Because I got a foul ball up there. I don't remember any of this, though. Okay, go ahead.
Long ago, I guess pretty early in the year, on a night when nobody was in the thing, there was a foul ball that made it in. During the homestand with the Twins, when we were sitting out in the stands on P1 night, Corby was in the booth when a foul ball was hit.
Okay,
caught one and ended up on TV. Which brings us around to tonight. Now, present in the booth tonight, there was some spare television camera. I don't know who this guy was with or what he was doing in there. But Sturm was in there. The Bob Sturm Show was in there. Dan McDowell was in there, although he wasn't present for this. Joe Lecce was in there, and I was in there. And Rusty was at the plate. This came in the...
Oh, Rusty hit it?
Yes, this came in the fifth inning.
Oh, how bitter am I now?
Now, during this at-bat, Rusty hit a foul ball up to the same level that hit off the facade down the way from us.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, boy, wouldn't it be wild if Rusty hit a foul ball back into our booth? Well, two pitches later, here it comes. It's headed back this way. Now, I will readily admit, I'm a chicken. I mean, when it comes to this, I am a chicken. I want no part of that. And I see that ball coming back there, and I am bailing, man. I am getting the hell out of the way. But the Bob Sturm Show, you're there, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, guys.
All right, the Bob Sturm Show joins us now. All right, now, why don't you just describe it from your vantage point?
Well, first of all, I'm wondering what the heck I have to do to get the trip.com play of the game off this thing. I mean, Jesus.
Well, this certainly won't do it. However, if you want to call Dunham and Miller tomorrow and tell them that, in fact, let's make this the trip.com play of the game.
Yeah.
Screw Wando's sacrifice fly. The trip.com play of the game is the Bob Sturm Show catching the foul ball that went in the booth. So call Dunham and Miller tomorrow. Tell them you know the trip.com play of the game and win a bed frame.
All right. So, yeah, Rusty fouls it right back, and it's one of those very surreal 1 second feels like an hour feels like a second situation where the ball's coming back up at you. And you guys know this, that you're always picturing a ball coming up there, and the scariest part is...
I'm picturing getting the hell out of the way. That's what I'm picturing.
Well, yeah, but the first thing I'm always thinking about is if a ball comes up there and you make an attempt at it, the worst thing that could happen is it flicks off the top of your fingers and you catch somebody right in the mouth with it or something. So you don't really want to do that, but I was able to reach up there and barehand it with the right hand, and it just stuck like it was on flypaper.
He one-handed it.
He one-handed it.
It was a barehanded catch by a bareheaded guy.
Absolutely.
Oh, so, that makes me so bitter.
So you know what?
Grego was not in the booth.
You know what? I'd have been in the booth if it wasn't been for that TV camera, because that squeezed me out of a seat.
Right. Yeah, I know.
And if I'd have been there, I'd have caught it.
No, Rusty things. Said, he said, you know,
he's braggadocio.
He said,
no
I,
doubt.
I need to reward a guy who defended me and would never have traded me in 100 years. So he thought,
Yeah.
You know, actually, Rusty was trying to hit you in the head.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. He was gunning for him and Dan McDowell. Although I think he hates Dan McDowell worse than he does the Bob Sturm Show. Most people do.
I think that's true.
How long have you guys been working on the radio together?
Like a month.
Okay.
But one of our first...
I'm surprised you knew Dan's name.
One of our first baseball segments was the... And we kind of made it up. It was Rusty Greer for Andy Pettit, who was coming off a really bad year.
Wow.
And we thought, what a great trade that would be for the Rangers. And, of course, that didn't go well with the hard line.
Way to go, Mike.
And then it got back to Rusty...
That we're trying to trade him.
Well, that was at least kind of talk or something, but then so much so that Doug Melvin... called him and said, look, we're not talking about... That was just something that came up in the media.
God,
we're not,
I love Rusty.
A big thing.
I love Rusty, but looking back on that, you think you'd make that trade right now? 10 years with Andy Pettit versus 1 year more with Rusty?
I don't know. The hard line told me that would be a really bad idea, so I believe them.
Because he was the heart and soul of that World Series winning Rangers team.
That was before...
What? You wouldn't do it?
No, I'm saying I would.
Oh, okay.
That was before Rusty's surgery, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The sundress surgery.
It makes me so bitter. I mean, I've been up there every single game. Bob Sturm comes about six a year, and he gets a foul ball. And I've been coming here 6 years in that booth game. And haven't even got close to
getting
one.
That's the first time I've ever been in there and seen that.
Yeah,
happen.
Let's pause it. Yeah. How about back then with the jump in with the you don't show up till the sixth inning in the game?
Yeah.
Why is that? Why'd
you let that slide?
This is like Mickey reporting on Cowboys after they leave and their bad practice habits. We just need a little of that. We want to know now when Corby does not fulfill your needs.
You do.
Keep us
that's the difference.
That is the difference.
We bust each other's balls.
We've turned into completely honest hardline now?
Yeah.
They write a song about golf taking priority.
Right.
Now, now they admit they don't drive anywhere together and
exactly.
they hate each other.
Right. Like
Whereas
I say,
before we used to hear about the great
vacations
love and,
together.
Right, right.
Yeah. You guys would go to Tahiti.
Back then.
That's what ruined it.
Back then.
The lie
I gave
that you
a damn,
tried to live.
Now I don't.
All right.
It's a learning experience.
Double figures this year. That's better than... I'm over six. Now, the ball comes up there, and I...
They played the birthday card, huh?
Yeah,
the Bob Sturm Show leans out there and says, no franking way, kid.
What happened here?
Yeah, that's when the tape hits the end and goes back, but you lose 10 seconds of audio. They're describing that as soon as I caught the ball, and Mike was hidden underneath the desk...
cowering.
They,
So you actually ducked?
No. My MO generally is to grab the desk and... push myself back as far as I can and as fast as I can. That's probably what I did there.
Well, as soon as that happened...
Ducking is too much effort.
As soon as I caught the ball, a mom brought over like a seven-year-old and starts yelling up at the window that it's his birthday.
That is so weak.
Yeah, that
therefore,
is weak.
Therefore, she deserved...
Now, what does she look like?
Her son deserved
it. Did you dive in under peer pressure?
Well, let's listen.
Oh.
Boy, the birthday boy might learn how to jump a little higher if he wants the ball next time.
Yeah!
Well, I got to tell you, if it was me, because Bob did give the ball to the kid.
No, oh, Bob!
Boo!
Yeah.
Rusty Greer hit that ball and I caught it. I'm keeping it.
He should have.
If Rusty Greer hits it, if Raphael hits it, I'm keeping it too.
Uh-oh.
If anybody else hits it, Pudge... Todd Zeal, Royce Clayton, anybody else?
Todd Zeal.
Well, I'll give it to anybody. But if those two players hit it, I'm keeping it.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do. I was on the spot, so I panicked and gave it to the kid. But
I did the right thing.
No, you didn't.
My hand's a little sore, but it's all good.
I mean, Dan wouldn't have done it.
No, he wouldn't have. Dan would have charged the kid, probably.
Yeah, he would have tried to profiteer off of it in some way.
Exactly.
I can't tell you how bitter that makes me.
You're right.
Crazy scene, man. It was a really crazy scene. I got to tell you, I've never seen that till tonight.
Yeah, Hammer, the funniest part was that Reiner, we're all sitting there watching the at-bat. We're all sitting there watching the game. And then 10 seconds later, Reiner's asking us what happened, like he left the room or something like that.
Hey, I've seen balls that come back there. I think I lost consciousness.
I think you might have blacked out.
Now, that have come in that general direction. Now, I've seen Reiner move.
It's like a grenade went off in the box.
I mean, I pushed myself back away from that counter as fast as I can.
Yeah, that was a sweet...
I want no part of that,
that
man.
That was a sweet duck and cover, Ryan.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was a great moment for you, and I must say, this is one of the finer moments of the year for the little ticket. So.
Wow. So this trumps the charity challenge debacle?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, better luck.
Well, it's better for the hard line, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm happy I could help out the little ticket tonight.
At least this didn't have any negative impact for the hard line. That certainly did. Hey, that'll go down in ticket luxury
did
box.
We lose the hockey game or something?
Yeah, it will. The night Bob Sturm snagged one-handed Rusty Greer's foul ball.
In fact,
we only had a couple of balls hit off the back of the bus in the old place, didn't we?
Yeah,
one that I can think of. That was a long way up there.
Yeah.
Didn't the keeper hit that?
Yeah.
And Ron Spain could have caught it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well,
that was a crazy scene, man.
I seized the day.
You did save the. You did seize the day and save it.
Made the best of the opportunity, boys.
Yes, you certainly did. All right, well, very good. Get some sleep, buddy.
Hey, we will. Thanks a lot.
All right.
See
it's
you,
the
boys.
Bob Sturm Show. Hear him tomorrow.
One more
with
thing
his little
here,
buddy Dan McDowell from noon to 3 here on the little ticket. No doubt they'll be talking about that. Also, I understand Dan McDowell got kicked out of the Yankee clubhouse tonight.
He did?
I understand.
For what?
There was somebody who objected to his line of questioning in there.
Are you kidding, or is this? Or is
no,
this...
that's what he said. Now, you know, with him, you never know.
Well, maybe he should call in, too, and check in.
Well, maybe he should.
I mean, if he got kicked out of the clubhouse, I want to know about it.
Well, I'm sure he was rolling tape on it. I'm sure they're going to use it on their show.
And
there you go.
Is that Paul O'Neill?
Is that they got kicked out for that?
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
I thought Corby got kicked out.
I did.
So, I have two questions. One is, who's the guy hosting the show with Mike? And two is, who's this Reiner that you guys kept referring to?
Isn't that weird?
Well,
it was only
10
years ago.
Those are both great questions.
Mike?
Those are questions that everybody knows the answer to.
Do they?
There's a lot of
I will say this, though. of the 10 Reiner. Great things I've seen happen out at the ballpark, that is still one of them.
Wow. And they've been to the World Series now? And
yes,
it still
because he was so nonplussed by it all. I mean, he thought nothing of just seeing the ball come up there, watching it, very casually, reaching up with his hand, and he caught it.
He's an athlete.
Like it was nothing.
Very fundamentally sound.
Yeah. I certainly haven't milked that enough.
No, so, you haven't milked it enough.
Today, especially if you did that, would you give it to the kid?
I would give it to the kid if the mom would let me examine the rack.
Good point.
It's his birthday. You can't examine
that's such bullshit. You're setting your kid up to cry.
That is,
if you don't throw the ball, right. It's her fault that you made your kid cry.
You know what? What if she looked at her kid and said, "Look, I'm going to roll. I'm going to act like it's your birthday. Just go along with this, okay?"
Yeah, it's my kid's birthday. Can we please have that?
Dude, that is so sorry.
That
is weak. I would have told her.
I hate that in any game when the whole section will start chanting to the guy to give it to, and the kid never cares. Kid is happy with a piece of string, or they're looking at a bird. They don't care about Major League Baseball.
Cotton candy over foul
ball. Cats.
Yeah, a little yarn.
Yeah, they're distracted easily. They might run quickly to another room for no reason. They're exactly like cats.
Hey,
look at
7-year-old kids, Mike, are idiots.
Since I have you guys here,
I have two of them.
We don't have time really for this, but do you just want a taste?
What is it? Okay. What are you giving us a taste of?
Just this.
Who named it the hard line?
Reiner. Yeah.
You named it the hard line.
Yeah. I stole that.
Where'd you steal it from?
A Terrence Trent D'Arby album. Remember him?
Yes. Wishing Well?
Yes. Yeah. That album was, that song was off an album called The Hard Line, according to Terrence Trent D'Arby.
That's right.
And that's where we stole that.
Well, so why didn't you steal it from a Michael Bolton album? Or
are you being
Michael
interviewed
album,
by him?
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Well, we wanted to name it Faith.
Yeah.
There.
What was that?
There's a taste for you.
Is that coming up in a future show?
I don't know. It's like 83 minutes. That was a long tape you guys made there, Mike.
Wasn't
that a best of the hard line? Like a
96.
Like a 1-year anniversary thing?
Right.
In 1996, awesome. You guys put that out?
And it was made off an empty. Like it says, like Memorex, and it has a little hard line sticker put right on it. So that was Gorilla right there.
Yes, it was.
So, Gerbs, what grade were you in 1996?
Sixth grade.
Did you have this tape?
How you like that, Mike?
No, I've got an MP3 of it somewhere.
Now he pulls the strings that make you talk.
Random spot in
Tanya Hardy.
Random spot in the 83 karma. Minutes. Here we go.
We have to have a little bad karma.
All right.
Oh, fact spot, right?
Love that. To the hardliners.
MBS.
Here's the opening day lineup for my baseball team.
Oh, no.
Leading off playing center field is Rodney King. Lots of hits and good speed.
Oh.
Hitting second, playing second base would be Stevie Ray Vaughan. He can handle the tough choppers.
Oh, man.
Hitting third, playing first base would be John Kruk, a great hitter with a one-ball count.
Mm-hmm.
Batting cleanup.
I want to hear the rest of it, but so now we have Grego is reading it, and Mike is the support comment guy.
Oh, right.
Wow. Oh, that's crazy.
Wow, Grego.
John Kruk, one
funny,
ball.
Funny. Yeah.
Wow, that he does have
to go
one
the
ball.
Other way.
Oh, boy.
Batting fifth, the DH, David Koresh. Lots of firepower, very hot at the end of the season.
We got to have that laugh.
So there's plenty more in the box of tapes. So there you go. It's 1:30. Deion Sanders. We'll try to follow this up next.
I would give it to the kid if the mom would let me examine the rack.
Did we shill for Woodford Reserve in the last 1 minute?
No.
We should.
Let's do it.
They are the title sponsor of the Musers Campout. And they've been much better to us than the Musers have, to be quite honest. For those two to have their names on this campout. The Musers right now are nowhere to be found. They're in their opulent tents. Gordo has that giant truck-sized tent attached to the back of his truck. He's got like a luxury suite.
That's cheating.
So he slept with the heater on last night.
Did he really?
And watching TV. He's got a little TV in there.
And a giraffe.
And and a tiny giraffe.
On a treadmill.
And that's so just so he can eat it when he awakens.
Epic win.
So thanks to Woodford Reserve, also Lloyd Park and Grand Prairie, Macho Mobile Storage, and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Although, much inspirational.
He said Grand Prairie.
although we could have spent a little more money at Academy. Gotten a little better stuff.
A little more Tradio.
According to the Keep Waco Positive lady, Skank is available, so Skanky Tacos is still one of those names you could throw out there.
Coming up Saturday at 2, it's Race Week with me, Rich Phillips. We'll have a full recap of last Saturday's run at Bristol.
Now, I'm going to try and post this to YouTube after the show. We just had a very interesting sight. Norm is laying on the blow-up bed.
Oh, slower.
We call it an air mattress stand.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, an air mattress bully, camping bully. And he kind of worked himself over. We got these queen-size mattresses, which I almost went home over. I sleep on a king or nothing.
Well, good luck getting a king into that tent.
But he had worked himself over to the far left. That, along with the wind blowing directly to the right of him, he was tipped up in the air at a 45-degree angle. The air mattress... And Norm was just about to fall off. But Eric was videoing it with my phone.
He's been fighting that for the last 15, 20 minutes. At one point, he was on the ground.
He fell off?
He completely rolled off, yeah.
And, well, the video might be comical.
Norm.
It's just so very Norm. A Norm Truman Show-like thing would be the best. Just a Norm cam on him. All the time. Yeah. I would watch it.
I would love that reality show.
I would tune
no
in just to see whatever Norm, like making a sandwich or whatever.
I have to go number one.
Hello. FC speak the ball.
I'm going to get a job pumping gas.
All right. Sounds like a good time there, Mike. Let's do this. Let's go to the most famous person at the ticket, so much so he may be the only person at the ticket with a Facebook fan page. Is Michael Gruber?
Thanks, Bug.
No, he's not.
No, Shoopy's got one too.
You have a fan page?
I'm about to hit the magic number.
What is a fan page?
I don't know yet.
You don't know what it is, but you're about to have one?
I've got one, but I'm not sure what to do with it yet. Shoopy's going to have to fill me in.
I'll help you, Shoopy.
All right, Shoopy.
But yes, thanks to all those trying to friend me on Facebook, but I can't add you, so please become a fan of Michael Grubbs Gruber. And Cole and Son in the Snoring Center bring you Dan.
Well, I'm a fan.
And exhale.
And to all of those who have tried to add me in recent months, I too cannot add you because I'm having to save my last few friend assignments for those very special to me. However,
like girls. Like right. Any girl.
Right.
Yeah.
However, check things out on the fan page scene. That's
Ooh,
Mike Ryan.
That hoe is tight.
Thank you.
So, we're here at campout. Corby is not here. This is the only thing he has to do while he's here is be on the air between now and 7, and he's not even here.
He lost
this
his wallet.
Ridiculous.
He lost his shirt.
He did lose. What did you lose earlier?
His shirt, his phone.
You're like,
sunglasses.
Have you guys seen? Oh yeah.
He left his phone laying around yesterday. That I know.
Who's gonna steal my phone?
Is that like a threat?
Maybe somebody doesn't steal it, but what if it gets knocked off into those bushes? Tell me how freaking you are.
Then what are you gonna do?
I'm really not.
What if we try to throw it
he's
across
really
the
not.
Lake?
Try to skip it. Phone skip.
That should be our competition tonight: an iPhone skipping contest.
So do you feel you drank enough last night?
No.
He didn't even...
Did you pace yourself enough that you'll be able to be the snake tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I spilled more than I actually drank. I didn't drink very much.
All right, we're looking for that tonight, too.
You know what's awesome about you?
Because you took a lot of calls and you were a bit belligerent to some of the people. But you're just saying that was just you.
Yeah, that didn't scratch the surface
and
last
that wasn't,
night.
That was nothing.
You don't want to blame the alcohol?
No.
All right.
I have some inside information.
Uh-oh.
Joining us, one of the title sponsors of this year's Musers Campout.
Halfway through the campout last night, Corby asked me to pass him his bottle. His bottle of whiskey was 3/4 empty.
Right.
And he polished off the rest.
But that's easing into it for him.
But what he consumed last night would have killed the average human being.
Chugging it down like iced tea.
No, see, Rich Phillips was drinking it too, and George. So it was a three-pronged attack on that bottle.
Rich Phillips is a drunk.
He's over there drinking right now.
Dude,
drinking.
Let me tell you something.
Hey, Rich.
I don't know if it's because he has so much room in that gut of his, but he can he can hold a lot.
How do you think his
rub
lunch
one
plans
out with
have
Rich
gone,
Phillips,
Bob?
Hey, Rich.
Do you feel they?
You know, I would have liked to see a little more creativity, but I think we'll like the Thursday lunch much more than the Friday lunch.
When we see nothing but a vapor
Friday
trail,
lunch, there might be a bag of Lay's still on the place, but I'm imagining he's not too worried about Friday lunch.
What do you think the hell of
as he's
the
laughing maniacally on his way back to the Metroplex?
Overall health factor of the food they bought for this camp out, Craig. I know you're a guy who likes to just watch what he eats a little bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's off the charts or anything.
I mean, they did buy some lunch meat that semi.
It was okay.
You know, it was okay. Turkey and
Rich said
ham.
Norm ripped open one of those packs this morning and just devoured it.
Press.
With his hands.
I believe it. I believe he probably ate three quarters or a whole pound of meat.
All the time laughing maniacally.
You know, though, I don't
his face
feel
all greasy.
Just ham everywhere.
After zero sleep and no nap and
here we go complaining. He's got the best job in the world. He's just complaining.
No, I don't
you
feel bad at all.
You get paid to talk sports for a living.
Just shut up.
Man.
I'm saying I don't feel bad, and I really
he's
don't even
hang
feel...
out and have fun.
I told Craig, I'm like, I'm just resigned to the fact that yes, I'm going to be a zombie for the next couple days, and I'm okay with it.
You know, after our 30-mile run, I said, you know, I feel a lot better.
I thought you guys would get a big kick out of watching me try to nap. Did you see what was going on over there?
I saw you sitting upright for some reason. I don't know what you were doing. It looked like you were typing.
Well, first I tried to lay down and realized that since I don't have the canopy on my tent, that the sun was going to fry me if I nap for a couple of hours. So I put that canopy on there, but just kind of half on, because it's a long process to put the whole thing on. So I'd lay down, and then after about 10 minutes, it would start flapping and then blow off. So I'd go chase it. Do that again, and I did that 6 times before giving up. Before just walking over here.
Wow.
And I figured, I know bad radio's. I know bad radio's laughing at me.
Man. I saw you sitting in your tent, and it looked like you were at the golf ball washing machine, just cleaning it.
I didn't.
Just
I didn't,
really fast.
I didn't think you could see that.
You think Craig would be sitting upright in an open tent,
doing that
40 yards away from us? Doing
I thought
that.
The canopy was still up.
This is really beaten. Let's be honest.
What?
No, it's not.
Camping?
And
or just being on the air with Junior?
It doesn't help. No, being
must,
on the air
a
with
nice,
Junior
nice
is a
thing
pleasure,
to say about Junior.
I must say. I am a poor packer as well.
Like a Green Bay Packer?
In that I brought one pair of long pants and one sweatshirt, so you'll be seeing a lot of the gray on gray.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, Bob's wearing a matching sweatsuit, which you don't see very often. Gray Nike sweatpants, gray Nike sweat pullover.
And a Nike hat. Boy, like, that's a lot of Nike,
you look like shorts. You look like a guy from Jersey, you know, and you had your headphones on earlier. And
maybe go sit in on a work
a guy from Jersey.
Yeah.
Like Paulie Walnuts?
Kind of a... Yeah, when you have matching stuff like that, you kind of look like a doucher from Jersey. And you had your earbuds in. And
hey, what are you
going
to do?
You're walking around going wireless on the phone. Yeah. Yeah, sell it. Just sell it all.
Why don't you get on with this?
You're portraying me as the situation?
Kind of.
Today is Thursday.
Wow. Suit.
Mike wants to move on. Thursday, March 24th, the 83rd day of the year. 282 days remain in 2011. Do you know on this day in 1958, Mike, rock and roll singer Elvis Presley was inducted into the Army?
Mike.
In Memphis, Tennessee. What did you think at that time? Mike?
I was probably pretty indifferent to the whole thing.
Aren't you still pretty angry about no Blue Hawaii 2?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the Korean War at that time?
I didn't know what it was.
Did you feel that suicide was painless?
Did you think Jamie Farr would get that Section 8?
So, as a kid, did you not even know war was going on? Like, did your parents sit around and talk about that? Korea.
No. I don't remember anything about Korea.
That damn Truman!
It's just a police action.
Let MacArthur fight it!
They were still talking about World War II.
And your dad was not in...
guys were stationed and stuff.
Uh-oh.
Your dad was not in World War II, was he?
He was over there somewhere.
Oh.
Was he?
Yeah.
Over there somewhere.
This just in.
Over there somewhere.
Going over there.
Breaking white today doesn't suck news.
Go ahead, Bob.
I got a bad feeling about this.
FX has canceled Lights Out.
Ah!
So only one episode left to fight Death Row?
Final episode will air.
Well,
you know, if they're going to cancel a show like that, they might as well just do it and not even show the last one. The ratings are that bad.
It's amazing to me because critics I really respect are acting like this is a bad thing.
Like, I know.
Tim Goodman
was shilling for that show. That made me lose all respect for Tim Goodman.
Where's Sepinwall on this?
He better hate it.
Get along.
I agree.
I doubt if he even broke down every episode of that one. He's gotten a little picky.
Yesterday we missed a birthday at the station of Lene Young.
Mike. What about Mo Ryan?
Let's call the front desk.
I don't even know who she is.
Can we call 7400? But remember, don't dial out to 7400 or else you'll get like KRLD or something.
Right.
KRLD.
You probably don't want to do this.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, is this Lisa?
Yes, this is Lisa.
Lisa, we're at the camp out, the Musers camp out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wear off.
Did you miss us? What?
Said make sure you wear off.
Ah, great advice.
Didn't even know we were gone, did you?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Oh. God.
I thought you listened to the station now and again.
No, not really.
This Bill?
Who's Bill?
Bill's
her man,
her husband,
her imaginary husband.
That's the man.
Her generically named husband.
What do you guys want? What do you guys
fake.
Want?
Her imaginary husband.
Who is Lene Young?
Yeah, just play along. Lene Young is the Wolf GSM.
Oh yeah,
the one sounds a little high up for us to call.
I think.
Come on, connect us over there. Yeah.
She sounds like the one who stonewalled us last time. I think.
I don't think it's going to happen for you guys today.
Oh, got to take a shot.
Like we haven't heard that before.
Well, that sounds like a challenge.
Will you tell us what she's wearing?
I think slacks and a blouse.
I'll say it slower.
Yeah, we're at the campground. Right now, I'm picturing Mike in slacks.
What is he wearing?
Yeah.
Slacks.
What are you wearing, Mike? Tell Lisa.
I'm wearing slacks and a blouse.
He's wearing a saucy little summer number.
That's right. It's low cut.
Did you want Lene's voicemail?
Yes.
Nah, that's all right. No. We just wanted to talk to you see how much you missed us. Clearly.
Clearly.
Yeah. Didn't even know where we were. We could be in...
Were you worried about Mark Aguirre?
No.
Yeah, he's going to be all right, though.
How about Mark Aguirre?
Who?
Right.
Did somebody call him Mark Aguirre?
Sadly.
Yeah. Who?
Here in town.
In a way, I am sad to report.
Tracy Cornett.
Is that a woman or a man?
Channel 21. Female.
Play for Lisa.
Wife of Frank Cornett. All right, here.
Yeah,
it is.
Play the audio for Lisa because she's worried about him.
Mark Aguirre is in the hospital. Former Dallas Mavericks player Mark Aguirre is in the hospital this afternoon. We are told he's in the critical care unit at the medical center
in
Plano. He's reportedly working out on a treadmill at a Lifetime Fitness in Plano when witnesses say he became ill. Aguirre lost consciousness when he hit his head as he fell from the treadmill. He played for the Mavs for nearly 8 seasons and still holds the team's single-season scoring record.
You know what this is a product of, don't you?
Did you Cynthia... forget I was still on the phone?
Lisa, you can hang up now. See you later.
Okay, bye.
I feel like Lisa's breaking up with
us. Cynthia Izaguirre, who spells her half the name the same way.
Right, she screwed it up.
Yes.
So she's more famous than Mark Aguirre now? I don't think she should be.
Isn't that like a Cincinnati TV reporter
saying Pete Rose passed away last
night. Yes!
That's a legend in your town. You should know all of those names.
I agree.
Pete Rose.
Tracy, do you have a handle on all the names
today
in the
newscast?
Yeah, I do. Shut up!
You know, we missed in news that Chuck Bednarik is also in some tough shape right now.
Yes, he is.
Hospitalized.
And he's a very good friend of the show.
And he seems a bit fragile, so...
Yeah. I wonder if he wants to...
he was not fragile on the football field.
No.
Wants to be in the three-bedroom apartment with Liz Charlotte. Taylor.
But that was 1960.
Who else is in there? Just Liz so far?
I'm not sure who else is in there right now. We haven't inducted her, actually. May not make it.
Have you made the package, just in case? The news package?
The Bednarik one?
Yeah.
And have you made peace, Tom, with him finally?
No,
you and
never.
He and Jeffrey Lurie have patched it all up.
Please stop feuding with Chuck Bednarik.
All right, Tom, elsewhere.
We'll try.
To make things right.
Elsewhere, Matt Jesus Alou is 68.
Jesus.
Did you ever see Bob when his landscape guy calls him?
No, it's handyman.
Oh, your handyman calls?
Well, you got a lot of employees.
His name is Jesus, and it's funny. Bob will just show me when his phone is ringing. Jesus is calling.
Just spelled
Mark
it.
It's fun to joke about the Messiah.
See that shooping?
You know,
oh, yes, shooping.
Bob has a closer relationship than we do.
So he texts
him.
Hey, Jesus.
Look.
Okay, Jesus. Don't do the whole routine again.
Super Bowl, yes.
All right, I'll retweet that for you so more
Jesus
people will hear
Bob.
It.
Jesus calls Bob for picks.
Look, Dion just prayed to me. And
you really got to help me out this
Look,
week.
I had opposing players both prayed to me. Who should
I got Atlanta at the Packers this week, and I'm not sure.
Green Bay, 3.5. Yes or no?
Don't we have any other birthdays, Dan?
Who do you think Jesus follows on Twitter?
Pat Bradley is 39.
That's your worst question of the week, Mike.
Pat Bradley.
That's a good question.
The golfer?
Yes.
Not a bad one.
Mark Calloway is 46.
The golfer?
Undertaker.
Ah, looky there. I thought Bob or Donovan grabbed that one.
The Undertaker.
Bob is liking
the Undertaker's real name.
I didn't either. Yeah, he's still going.
Went to Texas Wesleyan University.
Wow.
So is your mom.
Ooh.
Oh, she did.
That hoe is tight.
That hoe is tight.
Bruce Hurst is 53.
Former Ranger great.
Peyton Manning, 35.
Cats. Such greatness.
Getting a little up there.
Hey, Dan, I've got a birthday, please.
The Trent Dilfer of the Colts.
Well, Ty said please, so yes, go ahead, sir.
Mr. G's Beverage and Deli Center would like to present Laura Lyon's 28th birthday.
Who?
Laura Lyon.
Yes.
Okay, now she's probably...
receptionist.
School teacher. Charity worker.
Teacher, let's say.
I think she had some of those jobs before, but right now she's a porn star.
Oh, okay.
Young Ripe Melons 4, Gooey Bun 7.
Oh, no.
And all of our favorite, Big Black Poles and Little White Holes.
Oh.
Floppy Ho Brisket.
So, Junior, we've been trying
Thank
for
you,
years
Mr. G's.
To get Homer Calls sponsored, and we can't do it.
But and porn birthdays.
Porn birthdays get sponsored.
I hope you won't allow this smut on your show, Junior.
I think they would welcome it.
Thank you to Mr. Something. G's.
They're just starting to bump.
We need something to spice it up.
Denny McClain is 67.
Ooh, racketeering.
Black holes and little black holes.
Little white holes.
Mike Vanderjack is 41.
Former cowboy great.
Chris.
I think he has a wacky radio
prize in every box.
Us. But I'm not sure.
Yeah,
did you just say Denny McClain?
Yeah.
Killer.
Philadelphia great.
Almost a former
Killer
Ranger
got
great.
A liner from him. So.
Hey, sports
is that
fans,
in there?
This is Mike Vanderjack out of the Dallas Cowboys. You are turned into the sports merkin of the Metroplex. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
I'm always turning in.
Lara Flynn Boyle, 41.
Snake.
Follow up.
Skinny.
Married
Yuck.
To
Too damn
mine.
Skinny, yeah.
Yuck.
To who?
To a friend of mine.
Boy.
Great Donny Thomas.
Danny Thomas.
Donny.
We watching Jimmer?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Who's ready for Jimmer?
Little Jimmer man. Hey, did the Spurs end up winning last night?
Nope.
Nope.
You all right?
Hey, Junior.
No, I'm not all right because their schedule the rest of the way is extremely difficult.
How about your Spurs?
But they'll be fine.
Oh.
Robert Carradine, 57.
Denver came back.
The hell?
Revenge of the Nerds.
I thought he was dead.
Denver?
Didn't he choke on 11?
R. Lee Ermey.
Wow.
67.
That's greatness.
Wow.
What a day.
That's a...
What was the movie he was in with Jack Black? The really funny one?
Full Metal Jacket.
No, Saving Silverman? One. Saving Silverman. One of the funniest movies R. Lee Ermey has ever been in.
That's a good
Pick of Destiny?
One at of the end, funniest movies R. Lee Ermey's ever been in.
At the end of it, he and Jack Black got to make out. How about that? Yeah. I was a little jealous.
And that's why he ever makes me sad, I think.
That's interesting.
You know what makes me sad? You do! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon! Tissue?
See, the thing is now, like, if they cast him in another Army movie or something...
We need him at the camp.
You can't take him seriously.
You know who he is? He's the police chief, maybe, in Seven? I spotted him so long ago.
Yeah, he does a good job at it, too.
I forgot these. Sorry. P1 birthdays. P1 Kevin. He works for the government. Hank. He is an AT&T technician. So today is his 37th birthday.
Where are these photos of women?
Thank you, AT&T.
Kate said it is my husband Clint's birthday. Oh, I did not wake him up in that special way because I am not a morning person.
Of course not.
Or P1s. I sent a picture. Please play some Norm burps and a laugh montage or Dirk drop.
Jeez. Odd.
Anything else?
Love you guys and have fun at the camp out. Where is it at again? Ha ha ha.
Thank you so much.
Man, these are lovely.
From P1 Kate, take that with you.
Do you like that drop, Junior?
Sure.
It's the greatest laugh drop ever.
Brandy!
What caused
Brandy.
That?
It's half laughing, half screaming. It was when Mike Snyder told Jane McGarry that he loved
her. That's right.
And she said, I love you back.
You guys took great audio and actually gave even better audio playing the great audio.
Brandy, who is a librarian, her husband is named Derek Grant. He is 34.
Did one learn that they're all dirty?
I really miss you, Brandy.
And wait a minute.
They're all strippers. Alone.
A librarian?
When are you coming back home?
Is that even a job anymore? Do people still go to do people do libraries anymore?
Yes.
They do?
When the librarians are named Brandy.
Here's a kid who's, or a guy who's really raising his kids right, huh? Are there libraries?
That's what.
I mean, do they even have books anymore?
Wow,
you
man!
You can't even go to libraries anymore.
I thought we converted everything to Xbox games.
Like I might not know if there are libraries, but I do have little kids, and you know,
take them there.
Well, I'm gonna have my playing soccer.
Yeah,
reading stuff.
Yeah, we're concentrating more on the athletic side of things.
All right, now here is Mike,
just like their dad, huh?
With totally, barely legal.
I don't
birthdays.
Know, man. I only have one today, Dan.
Yes.
Today is the birthday of Joanne Sullivan.
Oh, Joanne.
That's an old lady's name. Is she an old lady? Old hag? Kind of a...
No, I doubt it. She is the wife of the good pal to all of us, Kevin Sully Sullivan.
Ah, that's not an old lady then.
No, no. So happy birthday, Joanne. Back to you, Dan.
That's a dying name, though.
True.
For the young.
It is.
Joanne?
We need to bring that back.
Where's Joanna in all this?
Sully is
Joanna,
a new Facebook friend
love
of mine.
You. Cool in the gang? Anybody?
We're hanging out now.
Feel you? So white.
Feel you?
Groobs' so exhale white. Is up to 216 likes.
All right.
Congratulations, Michael.
Thanks, Bug.
Star Jones, 49.
Nah.
Yuck.
Hot.
Yuck.
Ooh, that hoe is big.
Yeah, but now she lost all that weight. Her head is big, though.
Can't get a job, either.
Kelly right. LeBrock is 51.
So awesome in Weird Science.
She was in that.
And the movie with, Mr. Karate.
Mr. Miyagi.
Hard to Kill or Mark for Death. Or
Killing Fields.
Hard to Kill.
Hard to Believe.
Hard to kill, underrated.
Steven Seagal. Yeah.
Hard to believe.
She's a great big fat person.
All right, did
was
you
that the one with the Jamaicans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see all the Seagal movies?
Yeah.
I did too.
Oh, yeah. But I alternated them with Van Damme movies.
Of course.
So I go Seagal, then Van Damme. Keep it fresh.
Van Damme? Who is that?
It's Van Damme. He's from Wisconsin.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Let it slide.
Now.
French.
How about some spare birthdays?
Is it you?
It's you.
So we're back to Elvis Andrews?
I'm sure everybody knows I'm still hanging around Dallas a little bit.
Super duper fly home with cheese.
It's a fart form.
With cheese. We couldn't think of a clever name for the cheese. Wilson Alvarez, Mike, is 41.
Wow. Part of a big trade.
That's a Ranger Hall of Famer.
Called up to the majors, faced five batters, couldn't get any of them out, and was traded the next day.
You leave Tag alone.
Was that under Tag?
Yep. That was on his watch.
Aaron Brooks is 35.
Saints.
Pretty good quarterback.
The Rocket.
Based on what?
Wahoo Saints. Also a
Dennis.
Packer. Also a Packer.
Yeah, you got to actually play a play
Packers.
To be a
he
Packer,
sure
right?
Yeah, sure did, Bob.
Well,
yeah,
according
sure
to that
did,
guy,
Bob.
He played for the Packers.
What guy is that, Mike?
Yeah, not sure.
Bob.
Dennis Erickson, 64.
He who cannot be named.
The you. He who must not be named.
The
ooh,
you.
Ooh, Dennis Erickson, Mike.
Yes.
Are you out of sorts today? Green jacket?
I'm fine. I've since retrieved the green jacket. I'm going to wear it one day.
Do you know Dennis Erickson once spoke harshly to our Mike, Dan?
Yeah, I
what did he say to you?
I believe you told that story here before,
sure
but
I
what
have.
Is it?
Well, he called me over after a press conference because he didn't like a question that I asked.
What were you in a Dennis Erickson press conference for?
It was when Miami was here for the Cotton Bowl.
To play Texas?
Yes.
The 48-3
won.
Year.
Yeah.
So what'd you ask him?
I've never
you
seen
have
you
a
ask
boyfriend?
A question. Oh,
ask that.
So the
what question could have thrown him off?
Not Lamar
when
Thomas,
when was the last time
the...
you got laid?
The showboat in the end zone. Who was that? Fred
Biletnikoff.
Fred Hoiberg.
No, it was in the U. Come on. He was doing the gun bit in the end zone. Not Fred.
Fred Grandy.
Yeah, that's it. Fred Grandy.
Surrounded by...
Well, anyway, it was during the period of camouflage and all that.
Yeah.
And the night before that had the beef bowl at Lowry's. And
Lowry's.
You know, there was tales of a near confrontation between players because the Miami guys were acting like the a-holes that they were.
Every game.
And Texas just wanted to go there and in there and eat. And Miami was trying to pick fights and stuff. And I asked him something about that.
I will beat your ass.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
That was Dennis Erickson.
And then what did he say to you when he called you
players.
Over?
Well, he answered the question. And then whoever the handler was came and got the microphone because I had a follow-up ready to go. I was going to stay on this, but they took it away from me. And then the press conference ends. Were you at this?
No, but it seems familiar. It seems like this story's been written up in a book.
Yes, yes, it has. And as he's walking out, he's got, you know, his PR people and his media relations people with him and stuff. He stops, and stands there for a second, and I'm not seeing any of this. I'm talking to guys and whatnot. And all of a sudden, I hear somebody say, "Hey, green jacket." And I'm looking down, and I happen to have on this really bright green, neon green windbreaker.
That's awesome.
And I look at it. I turn and look over my shoulder, thinking he can't mean me. And he's looking right at me and going, "Yeah, you, come here."
You know,
okay. So I walk over there, and he says, "That was a bad question, man." I said, "Why? Because you didn't dig it?" And then his peeps start doing like this, say, "Come on, let's go, let's go."
Five.
They walk
and
you out
says,
the door.
No, you say?
Not
that's
camp out.
Question.
Come on, Grooves.
Say, "I'll kill you."
Keep going.
Can't do it on camp out. Go ahead, Mike.
And that was it. They got him out of there.
Where was the Blue Jay jacket in all this?
What book was this in? The Godfather?
The Bible?
I believe it was in Portnoy's Complaint.
Steve Carsey, 39.
Wow.
Brett Roberts, 41 today.
Did he have a swim through, please, Steve Carsey?
Wait a second.
Sure he did.
Was it in the Biff Tanner book?
Bob.
Buff Tanner, not Biff.
Wow. It doesn't matter. You're close enough for comedy. What happened to Buff Tanner?
No idea.
When's the sequel?
Buff Tanner!
Doesn't Gordo have the
I thought that was going to be like Harry Potter, and we'd put one out every...
Buff Tanner.
Didn't Gordon write that?
I think so.
Yeah.
I thought Buff Tanner was real.
No, I'm sorry, little buddy.
He destroyed my childhood.
I know. Buff, I've not heard that name.
Does anybody have it? Maybe we need some.
I guarantee you Gordon has it.
Did he pay to make it go away?
He bought every copy.
I think that guy paid Gordon like $38,000 to write a book that no one bought.
Gary Templeton, 55.
I think Big Dave Ghost wrote it.
And Mike Woodson, 53.
I win.
Bob couldn't hold out.
Well, whoever's got it, bring it. We'll have some dramatic readings from Buff Tanner.
All right, tonight we'll get a Buff Tanner explanation from Gordon after we get off the air.
Now count us out, Grooves. We're done.
Five.
Well, no,
four,
no, no, no.
Three.
Wait. One
group.
Come on.
Corby, video. What are you doing?
Your mom.
Oh, my gosh.
But right now, here's the Cobra.
Here he is, the Cobra.
Lower that. It's too loud.
Here's Cobra.
It's too loud for him. For me?
Yeah. It's too loud for everybody. Everybody's trying to sleep around here.
Right. We got some serious nap time going, but I'm telling you right now, ain't nobody taking no nap. It's too windy.
Everybody has a migraine today.
Shh. I don't.
Really?
But you're going to see Junior Miller tried to nap for like 3 hours, and what did he call it?
The most failed attempt at a nap ever, except for what he was wound up watching. Which was Norm trying to sleep.
Right. Now, Norm, though, Norman is he's an amazing creature because he's sitting over there on the blow-up bed, right over there by the lake, no tent, no nothing, sawing logs, cutting through this wind like it's
right.
Nothing. I admire that
mistake,
man.
No mistake, we have very, very big wind out here today. We've had a couple of towers blow over already. Out on the ocean blue, and look at that.
Clock just fell.
Yep, the clock just got blown over.
Lake Ticket is white. It's cresting. It's,
yes,
it's
out on the ocean blue in front of us. We have white caps going on out there. It is a very, very windy day. In the sky overhead, we have some scattered cloudage, but it's still sunny out here. It's still a nice day. Seems a little cooler than yesterday.
It is.
Which is not a good omen for tonight, but I hear that tonight is not going to be near as brisk as it or chilly as
it was
last night.
Chilly in Big D last night a little bit.
Was it really?
Yeah, you needed a hoodie for sure.
Well, trust me.
What?
It was infinitely colder here.
I believe it. And you got that.
It had to have been.
You got that wind blazing across the water.
We didn't even have big wind last night. It was just
cold.
Butt-ass
cold.
It was just
really cold last night.
Did you guys have late-night campfire fun?
Not late enough, but that's why you build up.
Mainly Corby yelling at callers.
Oh, this is a building process.
No, he was yelling at everybody. He was so hostile last night. Nobody wanted to be around him.
Even girls that called in saying they loved him, he yelled at them and made them hang up.
What's the matter with you?
I was tired of talking to girls. Mike wanted to talk to girls. I was looking to talk to guys. I mean, this station is built
on men. Yeah, you were looking to talk to guys.
And I just wanted to talk to them.
You like talking to guys so much.
I thought maybe we'd get a little sports talk going, and Mike wanted to talk to girls.
Okay.
And I was just like, all right, man, you know. I mean, it was very sexist, and I don't appreciate it as a man.
Okay. Whatever you say.
No, that was a taste. That was nothing. That was a popcorn fart. Tonight we ride.
So he says.
On the wings of whiskey.
Let's do that tomorrow. That sounds like fun. All right, so what is the plan? Are we going to begin nighttime ticket activities right after we're done today? Is that
it's
going to roll out? Or
no, we're going to eat. Cookie's got to make the steaks.
Mm.
So, it's going to take a little time
Welcome to
Cookie to get get everything going, and I imagine around between 8 and 8.30, something like that.
Is he making beans?
We'll try to get things going. We need to, I don't know
he
if
he has beans. There are beans in there, but I don't know what his plans are.
Are they just canned beans?
Yeah.
That yeah, they're ranch-style beans.
No, you gotta make your own beans.
Beans
Danny, we're not out here cooking. We don't have time to do that.
You should have sent me out there. I would have cooked for everybody, and it would have been delicious.
Well, look, he's got those morning ticket tickers to deliver.
Right, I can stay up all night.
I understand that he was pretty much reveille for everybody today.
It was shocking.
The sound of his voice.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear one thing out of the broadcast. Not one. But every G-damn 20 minutes, here comes Rich Phillips, who yells his tickers.
Rub
he
one
yells.
Out with Rich Phillips.
Well, he's got a very commanding radio
Well,
presence.
Thank you, Rhines.
It's but why couldn't I hear Dunham, Miller, or Gordo the whole time? Not one word. But
because
every
they're tired.
20 minutes.
They're tired.
Stars fall in overtime, 5-4. I mean, it was just like, God, shut up over there.
It is.
Tired.
He is the human flugelhorn.
It's amazing, man, the pipes that guy has.
Oh, here he
put a headset on over here. Jordan.
No, don't put him on.
No, we can
just,
put him on.
Just to be fair, when I was laying down in my tent earlier this afternoon, I couldn't hear one thing for the broadcast except for the pterodactyl laugh. That's the only thing I can hear down there is you.
So those are the only two things we have that cut through everything.
Yes. My tickers and the pterodactyl
laugh. The ticket ticker and him.
That's right.
I mean, I wanted to come over here so bad, but I was so incredibly cold to tell you to shut up, you know? My phone was dead in my tent. I was going to send you a text saying, can you just tone the tickers down a little? But then I couldn't even get out. I was so cold. I'm like, I don't want to move. I just don't want to move anywhere. I just figured you'd eventually have enough beers in you. Have you been drinking since 5:30?
No.
How many beers have you had today?
I think three.
Okay.
And how many did you have yesterday and last night?
I don't know. I had three or four last night and yesterday.
God,
and then,
man.
Then.
Come on. Everybody's so low-key on this.
We had whiskey.
Yep.
I had plenty of whiskey last night.
Yeah, Rich and I decided that we would break our whiskey seal and just have a little taste before the events of tonight.
That's why I laugh at all you guys that bitch that you couldn't sleep. I didn't have any problem.
He slept like a king.
Get enough whiskey in you, it doesn't matter.
You know what?
Hey, Rich.
There's something to that.
What?
I believe it.
Drink that whole bottle tonight, Ryan.
That's
should
what
be good.
Went wrong with me last night.
Absolutely.
You didn't drink anything yesterday, did you?
No.
What's wrong with you?
I'll bet that's what went wrong with me, because I'm saving up for tonight, too.
We'll see about that. It's a lot of big talk from you.
He won't deliver.
He'll have one drink.
Oh, yeah, one little bitty little baby girl drink.
Woodford and Coke.
I'm going to put some extra Woodford marinade on your steak.
All right, fine.
We'll take care of him now.
I guarantee you, I will deliver on this.
You will.
I will deliver the goods tonight. I'm more worried about you.
Worry about me.
That's enough.
All right, well, keep the pterodactyl laugh down, please.
I will. Go to bed.
Yeah, I'm worried about you. You frequently promise things that sometimes fall asunder.
Look,
Chuck Mangione's interpretations of tickers down.
I mean, I'm going to try. I'm not going to promise. I'm not promising radio gold, but I can promise you that I'm going to be. Then I'm going to have the.
All right, are we going to get calls going tonight, too?
I don't know.
Well, we've got to.
I'll call.
We got to have girls calling.
See? Here he goes again. More girls. Why can't we talk about little Kansas and Richmond? Huh?
Because
how about the Jimmer Man? Talk about the Jimmer Man.
We do that all day.
We won't even mention the tournament today.
When we got the nighttime ticket up and running, then it's time to have some fun.
Let me ask you a question, Mike. Do you know anybody in the tournament reduction business? Because I don't. I mean, I thought I did know someone in the tournament reduction business.
He's in the tournament reduction business.
Yeah, well, why can't all athletes be like him?
I don't know.
I love this. I don't know.
one of the more understated laughs in the history of this radio station.
Because you're like, what in the hell just happened?
Jawal! Play it again. Play it again.
He says he's in the tournament reduction business.
Jawal, why can't all athletes be like him?
What was he...
I don't know.
What was he trying to say? Why Jawal?
I don't know.
Jawal.
Who knows?
Yeah, well,
I was just trying to help him gloss over another embarrassing. That's all.
Oh God. No.
Are you all right? Whoa.
I'm all right.
He's on the ground.
No, I'm not on the ground.
Snoop me.
Everybody leave the camp out.
No, don't. No.
Corby, clear.
Stop it.
He's fine. All right, I'm better.
Okay? Yeah. Bring it down.
Hey, it's Rich.
Oh man. Woo. I got camp out pants today, man.
Now
what?
We're all incredibly tired. So why don't we take a break and just get into what went on? I mean, it's been talked about ad nauseum. Your role is I'm so tired right now that I'm not even mad anymore. You need to pay the Piper somehow.
All right, I will.
You will?
Yes, I will. Somehow I will.
50 push-ups consecutively.
No. It's stupid.
Okay. I'm going to make something right for somebody who needs it.
Okay. I don't understand what that means, but let's get into all that. You, your problems, your diarrhea next. Hope you like sodomy.
There's a bear in the woods? Jub Jub sure did. Oh, man. During the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout. Brought to you by Macho Mobile Storage, Lloyd Park and Grand Prairie. And live from the woods on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
I'm offended by that.
It's pretty awesome.
True, too. I saw it. All right. Let's get things going today from the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout. In advance of all the greatness that's going to go down later on tonight, we might need to make this guitar free tonight. Guitars messed up everything last night.
It was so hard to understand everything. I listened to the whole night. There's a lot going on.
No guitars.
Yeah, and with our signal at night, doesn't help.
No bass, no guitars.
I heard there was a bass brought.
Yeah, sounded like a Seinfeld episode.
Bass.
Yeah, slap bass.
I like the Yoda singing, though. That was good.
Singing Creep.
Right. He did sing, yeah. Yoda sang Creep.
Log on to theticket.com and register to win a backyard barbecue complete with food units and beverages and Rangers tickets. And also, the Musers will deliver it to the winner on April 1st. The Rangers Backyard Barbecue brought to you by the Musers and our good friends at Kingsford Charcoal. Thank you, Kingsford Charcoal.
All right, so yesterday when we came and we were setting up our campgrounds and having fun out here at this mysterious locale, which, by the way, it's pretty kick-ass. Pretty effing gorgeous out here. And it's one thing that has kept my brain together as I'm working on about 2 hours of sleep is just the fact that I feel that I'm looking at something that I don't get to see every day, and I really appreciate it. And I felt that way last night when I'm looking up at all the stars. And you're the only one who supported me in not being super gay, that I really liked seeing those stars. And
I do support you. I like that, too.
So awesome. And
it happens so rarely.
Yeah, because we live in that smog-filled giant city of ours.
That's right, that has suburbs that stretch out for about 4,000 miles in every direction. If we didn't have suburbs, we'd be all right.
Yeah. So, you know, we get here and we do our show and everything, and we're setting up our tents and having fun with everything. And the weather was perfect, and I'm not sure when that weather took a turn for the worse. I think sometime between probably 10 and midnight, it got about 25 degrees cooler.
It started earlier than that, because I remember after the tents were pretty much set up and everything, we were all sitting around the fire pit, mere feet away from us, and I'm watching Junior, and somebody's trying to talk to him, and he's listening to them, yet you can tell that he's got something else on his mind, that he's thinking, he's hearing what they're saying, but he's thinking of something else. And I know what he was thinking of. He was thinking of the fact that later on tonight it's going to get really, really cold. And like everybody else, he's not ready for it. Because last year, we did this a little bit later in the year than this. We did it in April last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
And
or maybe even early May.
And, you know, when we did it then, things had warmed up quite a bit, and it didn't get very cold at night at all. In fact, you know, it was nice at night, but I remember being in the tent last year, and I was pretty hot.
Oh, dude, I was miserably hot.
Yeah.
And I was actually looking forward, because I scouted out the weather for this locale, and it's a lot different than the weather in Big D, but still, it was going to be about 10 degrees cooler out here. Well, not so much. And so, no, I packed. You know, I knew we were going to have a sleeping bag, and my wife was like, why don't you throw a blanket in the car just in case?
Oh, a blankie.
Like, yeah, I don't need it. I mean, I know I'll get hot. I know I'll need a sleeping bag. Should I just put it in there? Take the blanket. So I put the blanket in there. And, you know, threw a couple pillows in there, and thank God that I did.
You didn't even bring a wrap or outerwear, did you?
No. Danny, so I didn't bring pants.
Wrap.
All I have are shorts.
Yeah, I was being ridiculed for wearing jeans yesterday.
Oh, you were at this time?
Yes.
This very moment?
Yes.
And, no, I don't have any. I didn't bring any jeans. I didn't bring a long sleeve shirt. I didn't bring a pullover, a jacket, nothing. Snuggie, hat, nothing. Shorts, T-shirts and flip-flops. So, yeah. I mean, by the time that, 10:30 rolled around, I'm thinking, oh, no. This is not going to be pretty.
So you just wrapped up in your blankie?
Well, we don't have the sleeping bags that we have. They're not
real insulated.
They're not degree bags, because you can have, you know, sleeping bags that are called zero-degree bags.
Yes.
They'll literally keep you warm if it's zero.
Mine is 30, I believe.
Yeah.
And when you go to Terlingua, you can sleep naked, and it can be 40 degrees outside, and you're just fine.
Yeah, you're snug in there. Matter of fact,
I'm the Terlingua comic.
Matter of fact, the less clothing you wear, the better off.
Right, especially when Joe Butcher's in your tent.
Oh, dear. If you're in one of those really nice sleeping bags.
A big old bear.
He is a big old bear.
But we have the equivalent of sleeping bags sponsored by SpongeBob. You know, there's sleeping bags that my kids would have.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a cumulus look, station.
No. I mean, what the hell? We're not expecting. Look, this was a weather system that no one anticipated. Nobody did. The weatherman out here didn't. Certainly the people that have this piece of property didn't. It was cold as hell, and we weren't ready. And I have never in my life, for that long of time, because normally when you're cold, you go inside, or you have the opportunity to go inside.
Eventually.
Yeah. I've never been that cold for that long. And it was 15 minutes of sleep here, wake up freezing, 5 minutes of sleep here, wake up freezing. On and on it went until here comes the tickets, Chuck Mangione at 5:30. Those are the first sounds I hear.
God.
And here's another thing. Okay, so yeah, I had my fair share of whiskey last night of Woodford Reserve.
Yes.
Not a lot, a couple drinks, no big deal. And a few beers, you know, and some hamburgers or whatever. So I was so cold that I pulled that blanket over my head because my face was freezing.
God. What did it get down to? 40?
Man, I did it too.
Yeah, it was 40. And it felt infinitely colder than that.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it was just 40. So I had the blanket covering my face, and every breath I took, every move I mook.
You were watching me?
Yes.
Every breath I took.
Every move I mook. I'd be watching.
You know, Sting, let's keep it in the present tense. It'll be a little easier to rhyme. So I got the blanket wrapped all the way over tight, and so I'm sitting there breathing, and all I smell is whiskey and hamburgers every breath. And I'm so cold. I'm like, God, this is just disgusting. And I take the blanket off, and I'm like, oh, it's so cold. And I put it back on, and here comes more hamburgers and bratwurst and Woodford.
Whiskey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just it never stopped. It never stopped. And then I had to pee so bad, like around 3 o'clock.
That would have warmed up your sleeping bag for a
minute. I'm like, don't get out. You can't get out of this. You gotta. Because there were points that I did wake up. I'm like, okay, I feel good. And then 5 minutes later, I'm like, freezing. But I had to pee so.
Yeah, that never happened for me.
Never?
No. Once I got cold, I stayed cold.
And my feet? Did you have socks on or anything?
No, I did not. That's one thing I didn't wear was socks.
You should have brought
bring with socks.
Brought your smart wool. Those are good socks.
I thought you were talking about like a... Well, forget it.
What, like socks that can surf the internet?
Yeah, they're 4G fast.
What,
but
what's happening?
So I get up and I pee, and I mean, I am so freezing, you know, and I peed right there in Lake Ticket.
Oh, Corby.
And I'm shaking because I'm so freezing.
Can't find it?
No, I can't find it. I can barely find it anyway, and that just made it worse. Had to, like, dig it out.
It's like a thimble in a bird's nest.
Yeah. God, Groups.
That's funny.
So
that was funny.
So, and then I get back in. I'm like, oh, so freezing, so freezing, so freezing. You know, I mean, it was just, it never stopped. It never stopped until
Chuck.
Until then, and then I was awake, and it was a nightmare. So that's my story. That basically my story is everybody's story in a nutshell. Everybody's.
Except mine.
Except yours, which you're going to tell us all about next.
I don't know.
My first name is Anal.
Here is my tale from last night, because I took the easy way out. You could say. Like most sites of this nature, this has a house.
Cabin.
A cabin. It's a rather sizable, fairly well-appointed cabin. It's not, you know, not like Little Red or anything like that. It's nice. It's very nice. And I made a few mistakes last night. Number one, I tried to go to sleep right after we got done with the deep night ticket, and I can't do that.
Right. You needed to calm down a little,
right,
and decompress and
right,
what have you.
You know, whenever...
This is about 12:30, I think, when we wrapped it up. 12:35, I think I looked at my watch.
Whenever I get through doing something like this where I'm all hyped up, you know... I'm not one of these guys that can just walk off and shut it down. I got to decompress. I got to wind down. And that means staying up for a little while. And I probably didn't allow that to happen. And I didn't have anything to drink last night. That probably played into this, too.
Alcohol-wise?
Alcohol-wise.
Boy, it helped. It helped the ticket bear over there, Rich Phillips.
It probably helped others, too.
Yeah.
And couple that in with a number of other extenuating external circumstances, plus the fact that my sleep troubles are well documented anyway, number one. Number two, right now I am really, really trying, and have been for the last week or so, to get through Saturday night at the Petty Theft Show at Lee Harvey's without a full-blown cold coming on. And number three, just the fact that the different circumstance, the idea of, you know, sleeping in unfamiliar surroundings, and add all that up.
Well, look, number one, first and foremost, it's not, I don't think it's so much insomnia, because you slept in a tent, last year?
Yeah, last
and
year
you were
I did.
Okay.
I was okay.
The worst part about this, and anybody will tell you, and Gordon joins us, the worst part was the bitter cold.
Yes.
That's it, man. I mean,
yes.
you say no more. You can throw anything else you want, fighting off a cold, anything. Everything would have been cool if it would have been 15 degrees warmer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. It was I couldn't believe it was that cold. I mean, it feels like we're in the mountains.
I know. That's exactly the way I felt, too. And did you...
I just tried to take a nap extremely unsuccessfully.
No one can nap. No one has taken a nap, and no one slept last night.
I laid down for 2 hours.
It's so windy.
3 hours, and I'm so exhausted because the past few nights I've had no sleep. And then it's so windy over there, and it's just... It's so loud because of the wind, and it's just hot. Now it's hot.
You look so beaten.
Look at me.
Look at him. Look at everybody.
I'm telling you, by the end of the night tonight,
yeah.
I swear to you, I'm going to be insane.
He comes up to me in there earlier and says, you slept for what, 3 hours last night? And I said something like that. And he says, you look like you haven't slept in 3 days.
He looked terrible. All right, so armed with that backdrop of just ridiculous cold, which we're all fighting through, and we're all tossing and turning, and we all have the little blankies over our head, and we're just praying to sweet Jeebus that somehow just... That's all I was saying. Give me 1 hour. I want one straight hour of sleep.
Right.
That's it.
I haven't had 30 minutes of uninterrupted sleep.
No.
Well, finally, I said screw it, and I came in the cabin.
I missed it at 3 o'clock. Did you do your raft race?
No, we're still... We're still debating what to do, and we'll get to that here in just a second.
Hi, Gordon.
Look at that current out there.
He would die out there.
I would.
Well, look at that.
And then he would. And then,
the wind has my allergies going crazy too, because I'm sleeping in a dust storm over there.
He would, and the route that we wanted him to take for the Great Eco Challenge.
I would be going right into it
through the current.
Yes.
Like whitewater rafting. Tell everybody. Going against
tell everybody. No. Now I was brought up on kangaroo court for this.
So anyway, this but you come in here and you sleep for how long? Did you sleep?
About three hours. That's about
now you're
right.
You're uncircumcised.
That's a great question.
No,
that's
actually,
a great follow up.
I've known the work of the moil.
All right. So yeah, you get brought up. Gordon comes and wakes me up around 9 o'clock and says, "We got a kangaroo court going on. Let's go down here and discuss." Ryan slept in the cabin. I was like, oh, God. Which, by the way, at that point, I was working on like 45 minutes straight of sleep, finally, when y'all are like, come on, let's go on the air. I'm like, oh, okay. So we all sit there and we're trying to figure out Mike's punishment because you, look, we were pissed. I was really pissed.
I know. And I was very defiant this morning, but I realize now I got to do something.
Yeah, you do. And then what Norm brought up, getting on an air mattress that we're sleeping on and paddling that air mattress, which is difficult anyway, about 40 yards, touching one dock, then paddling to another, touching that dock, and then we would help you out. Well, now with the wind picking up...
And you had to do it shirtless. So I envision this thing taking you quite some time, and you're completely burned on your back because your back hasn't seen sun since... The Eisenhower administration.
No, and you know what would happen is he would get in there and he would start paddling, and
he
wouldn't
go anywhere.
He would go backwards.
Yeah,
you would go to the other end of that dam
God.
Over there.
Well, you know, I thought I could do this okay this morning because you know we didn't have big wind this morning. I thought
right.
I could do it then.
Well, we could set you off. Norman, come over here.
We could set you down on
at
the other side
of
this narrow part of the lake, and you'd be back over here within a minute.
Yes.
Yeah, you would.
I mean,
you could traverse the lake.
Yes, now the wind is so big, and, you know, there are small white caps out there, and the current on, you know, in front of that dock right there and on the other side of that is so strong. I mean, it's far more river than lake right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that's not doable, but I know I got to do something, and I will figure out what. I will do something nice for somebody and not tell anybody about it, but I
like a private act of kindness?
Yes.
No, that's
yes.
not enough. This has to be a group thing. You
how
can't
about a
walk.
Facial?
You can't.
Lord. Yeah, how about that?
I envision you like, as I'm sitting on the couch, you lifting me up and saying, here you go, Cobra. And that's it.
Here, you look cold. Let me put some covers on you.
All right, are we square here? We all good? No, it needs to be something larger than that. Now, here's the double kick in the groin.
The Hitler thing?
Not the Hitler thing. We'll get to that tonight. It's It's not going to be as cold tonight. We do know that. It's going to be in the 50s. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be windy as a mofo, and we're going to be in those damn tents.
All right. I'll give it a try.
Give it a try? See, that's the thing. You've got escape language there.
Escape. You know what? Look. I'll do it. I told Craig in there, I've already resigned myself to the fact that come Friday night, going to be a zombie. A complete
All right,
zombie.
I will do it. Don't worry.
Here he is. He woke up at 4 without sleeping, and you just look like the biggest disaster. You look like you just did 4 shots of heroin right now.
4 shots of heroin.
What do you call that?
He's real hip to the smack culture.
You just all, like, kick back, and your eyes are kind of shut. And
I know.
You almost look peaceful. You're so messed up right
Like he's
now.
Dead?
It's the hallucinations have started now.
Right.
It's like when someone dies of hypothermia. There's tremendous joy and glee that's released before the final ending comes.
And do you know how happy... Okay, by the way, I haven't even asked you guys. This morning when you started broadcasting and you got over here at 5:15 or whatever, mm-hmm. was it freezing? Mm-hmm. It was, wasn't it? Yes. Were you guys wrapped in blankets and stuff?
Yeah, George had he was in his sleeping bag sitting out here. It's miserable. I hope the P1s are enjoying this. I hope that they are profiting off our misery.
This was a tough one.
Because I got TV. I'm going to have a Jimmy Rogers death.
Because this property we're on is absolutely gorgeous. And... you would think, like, when we all pulled up here, I was just thinking, man, this is going to be so great. We're going to have so much fun exploring, and we have these four-wheelers and gators to go all over this piece of property, and
gators.
Which we've done today. But, I mean, last night kicked everybody in the ball so hard that it's going to be tough to recover. It's going to take all weekend.
I just tried to fish again.
Yeah, Gordon caught a fish.
Yeah, I saw.
Caught a few, but I just tried to fish now, and the wind has picked up since I tried to lay down for a nap. So I was casting directly into the wind. I casted as hard as I could, and I hooked my eyebrow. I mean, I threw it directly into the wind, and it came straight back at me.
You're lucky you didn't put your eye out.
By the way, in this cabin we speak of,
you should
there
catch
is
a marlin.
There's a bunch of stuffed...
I don't think there's marlin in here, Danny.
Stuffed wild game, and... What is the one that we were talking about how we were going to kill?
Well, you guys came up to me. One of you came up to me.
I thought it was
a
coyote.
You asked me, you said, hey, Gordon, is this a coyote? And meanwhile, we're looking at like a 100-pound spotted hyena from Africa.
I don't know.
It was a coyote.
I don't know.
Coyotes aren't a whole lot bigger than Digger.
Coyotes are small, scrawny things. Haven't you ever seen the Roadrunners cartoons?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
They look just like that.
Yeah, coyotes are neighborhood varmints.
So we were trying to figure out if we saw this thing in the wild, what we would do and how we would take it down. And Craig was talking about just walk casually past it and then spin around and karate chop its neck off.
Meanwhile, if you've seen a hyena, you know that the neck is the thickest part of that thing.
Yeah, he thought that he could, in one fell swoop, give it a skull fracture and then completely rip its vertebrae in two. And then... So Gordon came up with the idea to kind of lull it into a...
Well, you got to win its trust.
Yeah. That I don't know how you would do this quickly, but he said he would just put peanut butter on his wiener and just walk towards it. And he thought that's the way to slay the great beast.
Well, if you show it how much you trust it...
It's a win-win, actually.
It is. So when I'm approaching it mm-hmm. with holding up my process, showing it the thin veneer of peanut butter I have on my balls,
that shows trust.
It'll see me as a friend at that point.
Right.
Thin veneer of peanut butter. Email that to Jeremy.
That I have on my balls. Why did you say that?
I don't know.
Well, that's what we were talking about last night.
Please, Death, come to me.
All right, well, we'll figure it out. I'll tell you what, we'll get everybody, because ain't nobody napping. We'll get everybody over here in about 45 minutes, and we'll discuss what type of punishment we think is fair for you and what you can do to appease all of our anger.
All right.
By the way, has been severely quelled because I'm
I'm not mad anymore. I'm just going crazy. And I did open a beer to help that process.
Oh, boy. God.
Yeah, that's right. Cool.
What kind of beer did they supply?
Man, we got everything here.
Yeah, we got
a
lot.
Awesome.
Get the hell out of here.
Sure, some visual daggers sent toward Brookbank on his way across the ice. After taking that liner, and I don't know how you catch up to this one.
I like some
Kabloom, perfectly placed. Two bullet shots by defenseman.
Could you hear that?
I know
that?
What that's about. I heard it the other day.
Oh, you did? Because I came out of my seat. I was like, who just played I Like Tacos for no reason?
No, like that's the taco period in the in the second period. If you get a, if the Stars have a guy.
Oh, they got a
Taco Bueno.
Oh. Please pull that.
Oh, don't. You think? Oh, no question.
No, I'm just going to let it go.
I didn't know that.
Thank you.
Because I thought it was awesome that some jackass that's playing drops at the AAC is just sit back there and for no reason, I like tacos. Listen one more time.
Sure, some visual daggers sent toward Brookbank on his way across the ice. After taking that liner, and I don't know how you catch up to this one.
I like tacos.
Kabloom, perfectly placed. Two bullet shots by defenseman.
So what, does everybody in the arena get a free taco?
From Taco Bueno, yeah.
For doing what? Scoring a goal?
A goal in the second period, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's funny. I was at the San Jose game, and I swore I heard that.
Yeah, out of context, you're like, what the hell?
Well, I thought I heard it. I went, no, that wasn't that drop. That's so funny that you isolated that, because that confirms that I did hear that last week.
I like tacos. You invited Eric? I thought Eric gave you the creeps.
I love that guy. I want to see that guy do more acting. He really makes me laugh.
He is good. What do you want to do next? Have fun with Jub Jub?
Well, yeah, we need to reconvene. We'll get a couple more people out here on the mics, do a little mic check-in, and discuss what our old friend Mike will do for us as punishment, because
Mike,
some ideas have come down the pike, and I'd like to see if they fit for Mike.
Mike!
You see what I'm doing there,
Mike.
Don't you?
Mike! Mike!
Busting rhymes. No. All right, so we'll do that. We'll get some other people out here, and we'll talk about it all next.
Taco period.
Migs.
All right, 514.
Yeah.
Here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to The Hard Line. Going to be getting into a little Ranger talk here in a bit.
At some point.
Also, we got to get into the Final Four, too, man. I'm excited. Yeah. Or the tournament. I'm excited about that.
That ain't happening.
Yeah. We're an hour away from Jimma time.
Right.
Like 6:37 or something.
You know what? Did you guys talk about this morning, the Bigfoot sighting in North Carolina?
What?
Some guy got, like, grainy video of a Bigfoot. It's freaking hilarious.
It's a big Bigfoot territory here.
I know. That's why I thought we could have a Bigfoot discussion.
Uh-oh.
Whose sleeping bag is that?
I think that's Norm's.
Oh, no.
It just started.
Is it in the lake?
Blowing away.
No.
Damn it!
He's okay. Norm's all right. Yeah.
So you've seen the footage, and is it fake?
Yeah.
Well, it's so fuzzy. Like, this camera's from 1834. Yeah. Look at how ridiculous this looks.
We're in a monsoon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's totally bunk.
Okay, that's totally bunk, yes.
Well, yeah, and who has a camera that looks like that, that's that grainy? Still.
My dad.
You think he does?
Yes, he does.
Okay, so we're all gathered around, much like we were earlier in the day, trying to figure out a fair punishment for Mike for sleeping in illegal quarters in the Hilton that's on the premises here.
Fought him all the way, Shoopy.
You really did. You really did. Now, Bob, you weren't here. You were still trying to sleep.
No.
He was out for his nature walk.
You were walking around?
He was watching.
Yes, he was looking at 40 deer.
It was awesome.
So, is that because you couldn't sleep?
Well, yeah, I mean, the vuvuzela woke me up at 5:30.
He woke you up, too?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
What is it doing?
Quackity, quackity,
quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity,
quackity, quackity, quackity,
quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity,
quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity, quackity,
Welcome to Race Week.
He projects. He's a projecting broadcaster.
That's right. He has a broadcast presence.
Yep.
Why do you guys even do a ticker at 5:30? Can't you just...
A lot of people rely on that. They wake up, they hear what's going on.
Play a Johnny Hughes.
Hey, a lot of people are already on the road at 5:30.
Play a Johnny Hughes open?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we'll start doing that.
Was that year one of Bad Radio where the first hour was dedicated to a John Hughes film?
Might still be going on.
All right, you keep it going.
All right, so we're trying to figure out what to do with Mike because the rafting challenge that we wanted him to...
How did that go? Did he make it okay?
Well, no.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know if you can see. I don't know if you can see out here, but the wind and the water has picked up to the point where he would die if we put him on a raft.
It's like the storm at the end of Point Break right now.
It is. It's the 100-year storm.
Bodie's pondering whether he should get out there.
I mean, it's a mess. So we're going to have to come up with something different. Now, I would...
Did you take Big Blue out in that?
Old Blue?
Yeah, Old Blue. Yeah. Did you take Old Blue out in that?
Oh, yeah. Old Blue is a DB hole.
Isn't Big Blue the chess-playing IBM computer?
I think so.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why would you take that out on the lake?
Where am I going to go, Johnny Utah? I can't go anywhere.
Is this a John Hughes film, or is this an open to your show?
This is Point Break, he's quoting. Now, we have a peer right there. I would accept, Michael, as your punishment.
Uh-huh.
Just running, sprinting off that pier and doing a header right into the lake.
We don't know how deep it is.
God, that water's so cold.
And Mike is, he's not a spring chicken anymore. You don't need to be exposing him to such...
How about a cannonball?
Potential
death.
Okay,
yeah, a cannonball.
I think at Mike's age, if he dove into that water, he would dissolve. That's what I... Like an Alka-Seltzer.
Dissolve.
Like a Ryan's Alka-Seltzer.
You see, like, clothes, like, just kind of trundling about on the water.
He has his arms go first and his legs, and then his face just kind of starts breaking apart.
Just disappearing into this mass of bubbles.
It's only like 3 feet.
I dive into
deep
water
there,
all the time.
All right, well, there.
That happening.
There you go.
You dive into water all the time.
Mark.
Yeah, where?
Huh.
I accept that, or if you would like to accept
to
that
where.
Challenge, is that fine with everybody? Him just running and doing a cannonball? I would love to see that.
In a diaper.
Like right now?
Yes. Into this wind, though, I think you're going to be blown back
on
the
pier. Let me just say this. If you pulled this, if you did this right now, you would be a hero to thousands.
Forever.
Yeah.
You really would.
Remember the camp out where Rhines did the cannonball?
Yes.
All right, possible. What else?
All right.
What else?
I mean, there are a few options here, aren't
yes,
there?
Yes, this guy emailed this suggestion in. He says, make Mike do a power hour. That is one shot of beer, one shot per minute for 1 hour. Comes out to about 6.5 beers in 1 hour.
Oh, he'd be blasted.
Okay, that's not dangerous, is it?
No, God, no. No, it's not dangerous. It's less dangerous than doing a cannonball.
So every minute, he takes a shot of beer.
Like right at 7, so we have like a whole night of Mike?
Yeah.
Now, he says he won't go on the air after that, but I don't think you've drank 6 beers in an hour is a lot, but you've had 3 beers in an hour. It's just 2 times that.
Yeah, you've talked about alligator gar before after having 6 beers.
We have that
audio?
Just what is a jelly bean? Has anybody ever seen it? Have you ever seen an alligator gar?
I wasn't drunk.
Listen to how drunk you are.
I wasn't drunk.
Not only is your content is incredibly drunk.
What is a jelly bean?
I wasn't drunk.
Now, you may be wondering... Just what is a jelly bean?
You got a pick in your mouth, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I like the idea of the power hour. And
you do?
Have to go, yeah, and you'd have to go
on
the air.
Air afterwards.
Think
for
how
sure.
fun it would be.
Yeah that's
Corby
part of it.
Did it last year.
That's part of it.
Yeah, but I'm not Corby.
Oh, shut up. It's not like you got to go on there and...
Hey, nobody is.
You know thoughts about you. I mean, you don't have to do that. You just have to go on the air and we'll
mess
with you.
You don't have to do me. I'm me. I'm the only one that can do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
The only one that can pray to Hitler.
How about if Corby doesn't want to with you?
What? Here, it's back.
Stop it with that, would
Wait,
you? Both
what?
Of you.
What?
How about if you do it along with him?
Pray to Hitler?
Stop it with that!
You're getting ready to get punched by him.
I'm just saying, I refuse to be part of a group prayer to Hitler.
Stop it!
Is that real controversial for me to say that? You're for it?
No, no one's for it.
Shut up.
You're for it.
Well, who's praying to Hitler?
You are!
No,
shut up!
Me. You keep bringing it up.
I just announced that I'm formally announcing I'm not praying to Hitler.
All right. Seance at 9. Now,
glad
Mike.
It's official now.
If I do it with you, would you be more inclined to do it?
Look at Corby Manning.
Because he's pretty much going to drink like that anyway.
Here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
I love Hitler.
Stop it!
He left the compound early, and there was no kangaroo court convened on him.
Oh, all kinds of hell came back.
He came back.
All the way back.
And that was the last day, and there was nothing that we really...
Well, still, he left it early.
It was 15 minutes early. I had an appointment I had to get to.
An abortion?
Well, early is early. You left the compound
early. Yes, I didn't want that thing to live 15 minutes more.
Well, maybe I didn't
because it gained personhood.
Maybe I didn't want the camp out to live 15 minutes more.
Well, I pushed it to the end of the first trimester.
All right. What is wrong with him?
What's wrong with you?
I am tired. I have not had any sleep in 3 days.
Good God, man.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I love Adolf Hitler.
Everybody stop it with the Hitler stuff.
It was Norm praying to Hitler. Don't blame me.
Why did Norm ever say that?
I don't know. Taco period.
All right,
we'll
sit
around.
Okay.
It'll be the power hour.
Hang on. I missed something. What was that thing that you listed as one of your favorite things, George?
Taco period.
Gross.
That's what the Stars have if they score a goal in the second period.
Don't squirm your way out of this.
There's no squirming to be done.
There's not a girl in America that calls it that.
Oh my gosh. God, that is so gross.
Are you? Is it?
They
that
do if they go
month?
To Stars games.
Yes. Did you hear about my taco?
She may have won it in the second period. If the Stars scored a goal.
You guys are immature. I've had my taco period right now.
Gross.
I'm so taco tired period. Of the station.
That's going to be the name of your new band. You'll rename it.
So matter of
bird
fact.
Bird dogs to taco period.
Thank you. We are taco period.
Give Hitler credit. He did a pretty good job.
Hold on a second, Bob.
That's
not until 9 o'clock tonight, Bob.
How edited is that, Bruce?
Jeez.
Hey, play it again, Groups.
Give Hitler credit. He did a pretty good job.
That sounds perfect.
It's like George Bush doing Sunday Bloody Sunday.
It's very fluid. All right, so one of those two things you'll do. All right, but we need a time frame because the leaping off into oblivion needs to be on the air.
Before seven.
Bolivian.
Or
did I say Bolivian?
Or starting what? At seven.
Bolivian.
Did I say Libya?
Hey, let me have some of that, George.
Or what?
Get that. Thank you.
Or starting what?
Or starting at 7. That's when the power hour starts.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. 7 o'clock.
He needs to eat before the power hour, though.
No, Cookie will have the food ready at 8, and then he can eat.
He needs a huge steak in his belly.
Yes.
Time for hamburgers.
I'm worried about the end of that pier.
He's got to go off this dock.
Yeah, the end of that pier, I think the water's 6 inches.
Yeah, this dock over here is at least 4 feet deep or 5 feet deep over there.
He could stand on the end of that pier, pull off his boxers, and his balls would touch bottom.
That's the second time you've said balls on this show in 30 minutes.
It's like the 15th. You missed the morning show.
Oh, my God.
A friend dared me that I couldn't say it 20 times while we're at the camp out.
All right, so...
And don't forget the patina of peanut butter on the balls.
We know. We remember it all.
The thin veneer.
Yeah, the thin veneer. Used to entice hyenas.
Where's our old friend Junior?
I don't know. We're in his favorite hour, aren't we? Oh,
hello, it's 5 o'clock. Kirby.
He's upstairs. Happy.
So, Mike, what's in the lead right now? What are you thinking? If you had to choose right now,
I'm thinking the power hour.
Yeah,
you are. Power hour. Go on the air, though, right? That'll pay dividends to the P1.
Yeah. Damn.
Okay. All right. Do you need to do it though before you eat?
Do
a
it
belly
after
full
you
of
eat.
Steak or? Do you want
to
do it?
No, he needs to start it now.
That would be awesome.
We're in prime time right now. He needs to start it now.
No, I'm not going to start it now.
Why?
I'll start it after we're done. Sometime after we're done.
Okay, before we eat, you think? I don't know if it's...
You want to save your belly?
We'll see.
That's not safe.
You want to unhinge your jaw and have a steak first, or you want to...
You think he's going to unhinge his jaw and just...
We can't promote. We'll see.
Look like a snake eating a lizard.
Just kind of work it like a snake eating a baby possum.
Have there been any?
Look at Mike, man. He's got half of it down, and it's only been 30 minutes. As he's laying out there on the lawn, arms folded down by his side, working his body along the ground.
You just see the snake on his body.
Gross.
Oh, man.
The best.
All right, Bigfoot next.
What? Chips.
Taco period.
Right.
Not that bad.
Stop it.
That's pretty good,
so
Rich impersonation.
It's a ticker.
And we've got a few to think that are involved in the sponsorship of this scene. One would be, of course, Woodford Reserve, for sure.
Thank you, Woodford.
That's right. They've absolutely fueled this thing.
You know,
Lloyd
what, you
Park.
Know what's awesome about you?
Yeah. We have them to thank for that. And this.
Poor.
And this.
He has a reputation of Hitler on here.
So, so underrated and undervalued.
Camping's fun. About the swimming
pool. All right, time for the pool party today. Who's doing this?
Me.
I thought I was. No? Okay, go ahead.
Do it. Both of you do it at the same time.
What are you going
to
do?
Go ahead. Oh. You got something pursuant to this, don't you?
I do. I do.
Okay. Mine will keep.
Okay. Well, we're out here at the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout, and we're on a piece of private property. And you have not taken the grand tour, have you?
No.
You've been kind of confined to this one little area?
Yeah. You need around
to,
here.
You need to go exploring.
Which way?
As much as you like to walk, and as much as you like to just kind of check things out,
mm-hmm. and
I don't
wander.
Know why you haven't done that. Yeah. Have you lost your zeal for walking?
No, no, no. Not at all.
Why haven't you been walking around here then?
I don't know. I've just been hanging around the cabin. I have lupus.
Oh, dear little buddy.
Which way do you go from here?
Pick a way. You go,
like all of this around here, huh?
Yeah.
Behind us, to the left, to the right.
This is...
That's all theirs,
this
huh?
This is 600 acres. This is not
okay.
some little piece of land here. This is a fully functioning, working ranch. This lake that's in front of us is 110 acres. It's a big one. I mean, you know, for private property it is.
Yeah.
And we took the four-wheelers and gators out today and kind of got a tour of everything. And, man, the thing that impresses me the most is how much work you have to do to keep this thing, like, to keep a thing like this afloat. Because you're dealing with deer. You are dealing with hay fields. You are dealing with hogs. You're dealing with so many different things. And it's a deal where, I mean, the dude's trying to make a buck off this, you know? Now, it's not his
we've dealt with some of that.
Yeah, we have. A few of them. But it's not like his solitary income. And I think for most people that have a working ranch like this, it's just, it's something that they do on the side. But the amount of time that you have to spend at a place like this, and I know, Danny, you probably went on some property back in Knox City that was pretty expansive that people tried to run
and
had foremans and all that. I mean, it is an undertaking and a responsibility that I cannot even fathom.
I worked a lot of that stuff as odd jobs in high school, spraying, you know, weeds and Johnson grass on just huge, huge pieces of property, just acres and acres and acres.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
And it's a lot of manpower.
Man, and you know what? The funny thing is out here, I don't know how many people are working it. You know, I know the guys who own the property are out here, I don't know how much, not... They're not out here all the time. I know that. It just seems like someone needs to be. There's a foreman. They have their old man. But, you know, it seems like somebody's got to be out here at all times. I mean, you have these pens back there, and you have oil wells. You have three oil wells out here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just stuff that has to be looked at. There's so much equipment. There's a hay field on the other side of that lake. Craig Miller and I, too, this morning we went on a nice little jaunt. I mean, we ran 8 miles and stayed on the property the whole time. And we ran everywhere on the other side of this lake, all back over there. And this lake's really pretty, by the way, to this hayfield where there's so much equipment for baling that stuff. And, you know, that's part of the income that you have. And And I just can't imagine just sitting here looking at this stuff and going, well, everything's okay today, because there's always something to do.
Yeah,
my ex-girlfriend.
I mean, it's weird.
Weird.
My ex-girlfriend, the oil baroness, who won't friend me on Facebook.
She's had it with you. Queefy,
yeah,
obviously.
Obviously. She, her parents had a huge ranch, and we would go there periodically. And I remember asking her dad, I go, so when will this thing, because he was always out there working it. I go, when will this thing be up to your standards? He's like, laugh me off. He's like, not in my lifetime. There's so much to do, from taking care of like mesquite trees that are just, you know, covering your property, or whatever the case may be. There's just...
And wasn't her part of her grand plan part of that being involving you in the caring for the ranch?
No.
Maybe you might have made foreman someday yourself?
I don't think that was the grand plan for me. It was to maybe learn the oil business. Be a wildcatter. Start out there. Work your way up. By this time, at the age of 40, maybe own the company. Who knows? But no. No, I had other things. I had radio on my mind, Mike.
Good luck, Jennifer. With your bottom.
But it's first off, it's a beautiful piece of property. I mean, just all through it, it's very hilly and you know, you got the big lake. You have these savanna type meadows way back in here that you would find just awesome. You know, when Sturm went exploring and saw the deer, I mean, there's wildlife everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's something going on as far as the animals go. But it's just one of those things that it sounds really attractive. Like, man, I'd love to have some property. Love to have it. But then if you want it to be functioning as some sort of money-making vehicle, or even just you want to come out here and hang out, there's so much to do.
Man, I can't imagine the just to reach some low level of maintenance for something like this, what that entails.
Yeah. And he was talking about having to trank deer, like tranquilize them, you know. And he's got his big trank gun on the back of his four wheeler that, you know, to make sure the deer are healthy and everything. I mean, I don't know how many deer.
Your neck.
I don't know how many deer are out here or anything, but I'm just like, man, there are blinds everywhere, all through here, deer blinds everywhere.
Now, are those owned by somebody? I mean, does somebody own their own blind out here, or do they just put those blinds up and lease them out to people, or what?
Yeah, I guess they're owned by somebody, and I'm sure people have agreements with the owner out here to come hunt out here. They have lease agreements with them. It's very indigenous. This is very Texas, you know? This is, if Danny's mother came in from Boston and he had the wherewithal to come out here and show her this, mm-hmm. I think she would be really impressed.
We did a little bit of that. When we went to Knox City, there's a pretty interesting stretch of land north of there that's just gorgeous. That when you drive through it, you just look around and you go, this is Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you feel that way out here. You know, with
Texas.
All the and that's another thing. Like
it's like
that was telling us.
You can imagine what it looked like back when, you know, people were settling there and cowboys roamed the earth.
Yeah, and like the amount of fence line that is here. Okay, now think about this for a second. Think about like putting a fence on your property, which I don't know if you ever did any of your properties before. We had to do that at our old house. You know, putting an 8-foot fence along this, you know, a privacy fence or something like that along the side of your yard, the back of your yard, It's insanely expensive. Well, imagine doing that for about 1,000 acres. Just fence line everywhere. Everywhere you go, fence line. And he said that he had to do that when he bought this property, put in the fencing.
Just all around the perimeter of the place.
Everywhere,
huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Whoa!
Everywhere. I mean, it does. It never ends. And as peaceful and as tranquil as this area is right here, you go back in the meat of it all. This is nothing. This area that we're camping out at, I mean, this is really gorgeous and really pretty.
But it's just a little corner of it.
Oh, it's the tiniest of slivers. Just so much to do. So it would just be overwhelming for a guy like me, especially, who knows nothing about it and would never be able to learn the business or anything, but... I have a lot of respect for guys who come out here and turn pieces of property into working ranches. because I don't really understand it first off, but it's such a massive undertaking, and you have to have a lot of education on it. You know, these are guys that are...
And you got to be one of those guys that knows a lot about a lot of things to do that.
Exactly. And I think you have to grow up in this environment. Like, your parents have to be affiliated with it somehow. They have to have a piece of property that, you know, you learned about as a kid, and it was passed down to you and all that. Because can you imagine just willy-nilly, like, you're like, all right, I'm going to go get 400 acres of land.
Okay, I do that. Then what do I do?
Yeah. Where do you start? Somebody hands you the keys and the deed, and then you're just kind of looking around going, uh-oh. Oh, no.
Then all of a sudden, you're standing out somewhere, and you don't know if yours is over here or over there.
Yeah.
Because you're a dumbass about it.
Right. And, you know, 600 acres sounds like a lot, but in the grand scheme of things, when you're talking about giant ranches all over the place...
That's not much.
It's a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But this place is huge.
I don't know what you'd do with it, though. I mean, I don't know where you would start. If you were to acquire a parcel like this, or, you know, maybe smaller, larger, whatever. I mean, what is the first thing you do?
I don't even know.
Cut
the grass. You're way off.
Do you figure you're going to have to have a tractor for something? So the first thing you need is a tractor.
Yes, you need tractors and all other sorts of implements.
We got behind a guy on a tractor yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we did. We had to pass the guy on the tractor.
Yes, we did. I guess that guy figured that this was going to be the day when he finally got the tractor started for the first time in 3 years, and he did it.
But like all the hay baling equipment they have out there and all the other motorized equipment that they have here... I don't know, did it come with a property when you write your check out? Like, okay, look, over here on the North 40, you got a lot going on here. I mean, I don't know if you realize this, but you got a lot of machinery up here, and you want it? It's going to cost you too. You know, or do you get this land and then make that whole area yourself and get all the equipment yourself? I don't know.
I'll bet that happens both ways. I'll bet sometimes equipment is included, sometimes it's not. What I wonder about, though, is these oil wells they have on this. Now, do they lease those out or lease that those are out?
I don't know. I mean, that depends on if you got mineral rights. That's another thing. You may own all this land, but you don't have mineral rights.
Right.
Somebody may have kept the mineral rights. So I have no clue. I don't know how any of that works. That's what I don't get is like, and my grandpa used to do it. My grandpa was an oil and gas guy. And he would talk about owning 1/32nd of an oil well. Or, you know, my mom still gets checks for like $4 from old oil wells that were passed down to her.
$8. You
know, yes, $8, D-dollar. She'll get these tiny checks. But I don't know out here if those are oil wells or if they're gas well. I have no clue.
Does the Barnett Shale run out here?
I don't know. I have no idea. It could.
Well... I saw a bunch of active oil wells on the way out here, and it's fascinating. I don't know anything about all this stuff, but it's fascinating.
It is. Tomorrow morning, you need to spend about... We'll go out, we'll get the owner, and we'll go out on one of the gators and drive you around.
Okay.
You need to check it out. It's worth it. It'll take 30 minutes to just kind of peruse the whole area and just see what it's all about. But it's really neat what these guys do, what these real... ranchers do, and this is a real ranch, hardcore, functioning, money-making ranch.
All right, let's do that tomorrow. That sounds like fun.
Carby!
Hey, Groots.
Hey, Nizzle.
Once again, here's Cobra.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome in Dan McDowell and Craig Miller.
How you doing?
To the broadcast.
Hey, Dan, how's it going?
We're still out here. They have not left for the Musers campout. I appreciate you guys stick-to-itiveness. All right, here's a hypothetical. So we're looking at Lake Ticket. And Lake Ticket is howling right now because the wind is blowing really, really hard. White caps all over the place. Now, from where we are, if you look all the way, not directly across the lake, but kind of sideways to that furthest point straight across that way.
Fart.
To where in the distance you can see Mount Ticket?
Yes, you can see Mount Ticket. Now, we are going dead into the wind right now, looking that direction. I have $1 million right here in my briefcase, which I normally carry around anyway.
I'll do it.
you swim all the way across to that little tree thicket right now. Could you make it?
How far
You're
is
going,
it?
Man, it tree. Is... What is that, a mile?
Probably. Maybe three quarters.
But the,
Tell
Danny,
him,
the
Ryder,
wind is blowing so hard, and the current is really strong.
You know, I would do it in a heartbeat. My only concern is that the water's really cold right now.
That's another thing.
But just the wind and the distance, I mean, that would suck for however long it would take you. An hour.
What about the
for
eels?
For $1 million?
That's not a mile.
It looks like
it
a mile.
Is it farther?
You know what? It may be. You think it's further, Mike?
No. It's not, that's
well, Craig, you and I, okay, when we ran, we were back in that area, and we, because that's where I we saw George and Gordon.
Yeah.
And we kind of came around that bend, and it was about a mile from there. So it's close.
Yeah.
It's not too far off from a mile. But
Migs.
You got to take the water temperature into effect, too, because you could get...
A little hypothermia?
Yeah.
So you ran together?
Yeah, we ran together.
Do you talk while you run?
Do you hold
pretty
hands?
Much the whole time.
You guys
look,
hold
you
hands?
You know what's awesome about you?
Do you skip?
Like, just have conversation while you run?
Sure. Yes.
Do you put one of your earbuds in Junior's ear?
And he plays me the mixtape he made for me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you shirt off while you were running together?
Yeah, I took my shirt off. Do you not understand the concept of running
together?
Like you're at... So, do you think that people out at White Rock Lake, when there's 1,000 people on a Saturday morning running out there, that no one's running together? That's all individual people?
That's Should what be. I think.
But when you're running together and you're talking, it makes the miles go by so much more quickly.
Which we both
How
learned.
How can you talk and run?
Yeah, it seems like you'd be out of breath.
Well, if you're sprinting, it's hard to talk, but this was a leisurely run.
Yeah, if you're in tip-top shape, it's no big deal.
Swimming a mile is a bitch, Corby.
I know. I trust me, that was part. Did you have to do that to be an Eagle Scout?
No, I mean, it was a merit badge that you could earn, and I opted to do it. And I remember doing about the last quarter of a mile with a floating backstroke.
It's very
it's
hard.
Exhausting.
That's why the current, man, that's...
You know, I've done it. I've participated in a triathlon where the swim was 1.2 miles. It was a real ritzy triathlon, so that music fits. It was the very first Triathlon Dallas. It was back in the mid-80s when nobody did triathlons, and I had no idea how to train for it.
Did Lance do that? Because Lance
He
was...
did like 2 years later.
Okay.
And so my only training for that 1.2-mile swim was just to ride my bike.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in the water, and about a third of the way, I'm doing the dog paddle, the backstroke.
Anything to propel you.
To get out of the water, I was the last human being out of the water.
Swimming sucks. It's very difficult.
I can't say that.
Yeah, you can.
Not really.
It's a camp out. Yeah, and I had to do it at Camp Longhorn down there in Burnett, Texas. And that was part of... I guess you didn't have to do it, but at the end of camp, it was 3 weeks long, and they had all the kids swim a mile. And obviously, there was a lot of safeguards to make sure that nothing went wrong, but I did it. You know who won?
Jack Ingram.
Yes, Jack Ingram.
Oh, I was going to guess Mark Spitz.
No, Mark Spitz would have been 40.
He would have won.
Yeah, he would have won.
Is Camp Longhorn the place where you first felt the touch of a man?
You were trained by that 20-year-old that took a liking to you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love you.
And he called your house?
Are you guys aware of this story?
No.
I like men.
It's funny because we just told this story like a couple weeks ago.
I like men.
I was in third grade at Camp Longhorn. It's a 3-week camp.
Speed the story up.
They made third graders swim a mile?
Maybe I was fourth grade, yeah.
Still.
Not make. It was an option, but I chose
to do it.
They
made you at gunpoint swim
yeah.
a mile?
You better swim a mile. Hope you like sodomy.
Good Lord.
Jeez.
It's a stupid drop.
Now, were you
it's
a,
camp,
were
it's
you
a camp out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Everything goes.
Were you
anyway,
a hot fourth grader?
Yeah, I guess I was. So one of the cooks, who was probably about 20 or 21 at the time, befriended me, which was real nice. I didn't know anything about it, you know, and...
As so, a little kid, you don't know it's weird to have a 21-year-old friend.
No, you don't at all.
But 21-year-olds.
Yeah. So my parents show up for to pick me up for, like, Visitor's Day or whatever it is, Parents' Day. And so I was really excited to introduce them to all my friends, including Jack Ingram, but also to my old friend, the cook, Cookie. And he was a slender, I just remember him, slender and dark hair.
Oh,
and huge balls.
Camping's fun.
Like, did being at this camp out just revive that memory?
No. No, so...
Are you okay?
My parents... shut up.
He can't even talk.
So I introduced this guy to my mom and dad, okay? So my dad's like... I remember my dad's like, how you doing, you know? So we go back home, and...
yeah, mom and dad, this guy's really nuts about me.
So, like, within the week, he calls my house.
That's weird.
I answer the phone. I'm like, oh, how's it going, man?
Is it?
What's happening to you? Oh, it's great. Yeah, just having fun. Yeah, just played hide and go seek. Yeah. You know, swimming in the canal, all kinds of good stuff going on. Are you doing that too? Yeah. You're watching Bugs Bunny? Oh, that's cool, man. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
And so my dad walks in. He goes, who are you talking to? I was like, it's whatever his name was from Camp Longhorn. He's like, give me the phone and go outside.
Really?
And I could hear him in there saying, don't you ever effing call here again. And then he had to tell
don't
me
ever
about,
call here again.
About, so were they creeped out when they met him? Like, could they tell something was weird?
Yeah. Like, you talked to my dad today, and he's like, yeah.
I mean, really?
He was a predator.
Wow.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Is Camp Longhorn still in existence?
He called the camp and was like, you get this MFer out of there because, you know, I go there. I went there. My sister went there. He's like, get him out now.
Wow.
And so, yeah, my dad had a man fired.
Is that the first time you heard your dad drop an F-bomb?
No, I heard, no, my dad was very free and loose with that, especially at sporting events and in the car if somebody cut him off. And I remember when he flipped the guy the bird, and I'd never seen that before. And I was like, what was that? He was like, it's a bad word. You're not allowed to say it, okay? Don't play this either. No, it's not edited very well. So,
How about your dad, Mike? Would he say the F word freely in front of you?
I heard him say it about twice. Not too freely at all. What was it for?
Was it because Ed Sullivan was on?
No.
I hate that effing guy.
Sullivan.
What about your dads? Which one of them cussed the most?
Yeah, I don't think I ever heard a dad cuss.
None of them?
None of them? You had three options.
Didn't you have one of your dads like a real grease pan guy that rolled his cigarettes up and
that was
ate
my
a lot
dad.
Of fried bologna and stuff?
That might be my original dad, but then my mom gravitated toward the money.
Oh.
That's why she liked Mike when she met him in town. A couple years ago.
Was she coming back?
Corby, you
never really worked out.
You would think that. You would think that.
Really gave it a go. When's she coming back?
At least once a year.
We could still make this work.
All right.
Is she single?
Just come on over at Christmas with a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
Your best bow tie. Your hair slicked back.
So gross. All right, Danny, what?
I was with your mother last night.
I'll drive out there and tell you.
No, go ahead. You do it on the air.
Oh.
It's a long drive.
You would think that Phil would have dropped lots of F-bombs, but only heard him say one.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But his thing was G damn it, and my name, until he decided to move out and leave us alone and stranded, I thought my name was S-ass, which is a huge dad cuss word.
S-ass?
Yeah, like the word, the S word followed by ass.
You say, like...
That used to be a far more prevalent word back in the day than it seems to
get inside
now.
You little ass.
I think I've ever heard that.
Yeah. Did your dad cuss?
Very rarely. One time when we were going to an OU game and he missed the exit, he dropped a loud S-bomb.
Shocking.
I was like in third grade or fourth grade. It was the first time I'd ever heard him cuss, and I was scared to death.
But you were going to be late to an OU game,
so. Yeah,
good point.
It's understandable.
You gonna drop F-bombs around your kids?
I have to watch it because I have a real bad potty mouth. And I have a way of stringing bad words together in weird combinations when I get mad. So I really do have to watch myself, and I get in trouble
a
lot.
Going
and you know
to?
What? No, I don't want to. But we have like a swear jar at home where
okay.
I have to put like a dollar in there. You
and
know?
You go jogging with Junior without a shirt on.
Yeah. So okay. I got. I mean, but I do have
what
to
about
watch.
You?
Do
you
a
do it
swear
around,
jar?
Do you do it around your kids?
No, of course not.
I have a queef
but
jar.
Sometimes
at my
you
house.
Slip, right? I'm sorry, Danny.
No.
What'd you say?
What?
You have a what jar?
A swear jar, just like you.
Did you hear what he said?
No, what did he say?
This guy's got a queef jar.
What does that mean?
Anytime
in there,
one of them happens, they have to put in a dollar.
They?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got one of those, too.
How do you think I pay for my car?
Wow. You must hang around a lot of girls. Like a lot of them for a long time.
But what's the point of your swear jar? Your wife doesn't work.
Right.
No.
You're the only one that swears.
I use
so you're the guy that puts the money. It's just your money anyway.
Yeah, I dig the money back out and buy pot with it. So
perfect.
It's all good. I take money out of the curse jar and buy drugs with it.
To teach your kids a lesson.
You're right. You see what's going on here? That's the only way I can get my drugs if
see,
I cuss.
The queef jar makes more sense.
It does.
Danny's not putting the money in.
All right. How much to put a big jar in the kitchen and label it queef jar? And just kind of roll when my wife walks in and sees it. Right next to the swear jar.
Oh, God.
Corby.
What?
I don't know.
And she just drops 100 in and said that should take care of the rest of the month.
God.
I'm going to launch a preemptive strike here. Here's 100.
I'd go $50 for that.
You would?
Yeah.
I'll chip in 5.
You're the worst. Now,
what does that even mean?
What the hell are you doing?
A what?
That could mean so many things.
What are you doing?
That's Camp Out Mike.
You are, I mean, we've all, we're losing
our. Did you
our
dump
minds.
It?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
you did?
I wasn't going to.
Yeah, you can't, you just say the N-word, like.
Yeah.
Not what the N-word is.
Black racket.
All right, we got to go. We have camping.
Why?
Are you
we have,
sure?
We have camping to do. We should have been back from break 3 minutes ago.
According to who?
Danny.
No, not me. I don't care.
I thought community queef hits.
It's camp out. Anything goes.
That's right.
Community queef hits.
Don't miss out on this high octane celebration. So join Steve Cactus Pryor Saturday.
It's the first time cactus and high octane have been mentioned in the same sentence.
At the newest Pep Boys location in Arlington.
Sounds like a great deal to me.
So, I need to hear this story about you guys getting in trouble for
it's
something.
It's not really a story, but
I'll tell
I just
it
thought
anyway.
It was copied to everybody.
I never saw it. I never saw this.
A lot of things go on that we don't see, Dan.
We're sheltered.
You have to understand,
from the storm.
We operate on a little bit different plateau than you.
Well, we got an email that was copied to Dan Bennett and Kat and everyone on our show from a guy who complained about us because he was in his car and he heard us refer to somebody dipping their bottom in a pond to have fish clean it.
Dip your bottom.
And I started to reply.
And let the fish clean it.
That he was, there was the wrong show, and I just figured.
Leave it alone.
Leave that and let Dan Bennett think we did that.
And did
we'll
you guys get
Bob.
In trouble?
So you're just gonna
no one ever said anything.
You're just going to take the hit for it?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, little buddy.
If we're the guys that are known
that's
for
kinda
that.
That's kind of what you're there for.
Like that,
how
right?
much of a hit can you take from that?
That's effing serious. Teamwork.
Like, why would you complain about that?
You know, I overheard on the radio yesterday, Bob and or Dan, or maybe Donovan, discuss having their fannies cleaned by a fish at a koi pond.
I mean, what?
I'm offended by that.
That offended you?
But if I'm known as that guy, I'll be fine with that. I'll take that from you.
All right. Sure.
Wear it proudly. Sure, I came up with that.
What's
one of those things where you wish, man, why didn't I think of that goal?
Because it's insane.
What's y'all's take on this broad right here? Like,
I don't see why my last masterful bon mot got dumped.
Which one? You can't. Too
you
much.
You can't say that.
It's just too much.
I have a thing.
Say,
okay, I have a
say
thing.
Say skeet.
for one older woman on the planet, like really older, and it's Helen Mirren. That's her.
Yeah, we'll soap up those honkers.
Damn, Helen Mirren.
Yeah. Now, you're not getting the full effect here because she's got a dynamic rack.
Okay. How old is she?
I think she's 60-something, Mike, right?
Probably late 60s.
Some old
But she's...
Why are you into her?
I don't know, man. I can't really...
She was born in 45.
So wow, she's 65. Dude.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like Elizabeth Taylor.
Well, she's dead.
Well, look at her.
Yeah, she's in the ground right now. They buried her. So, no, I don't like her.
They haven't buried her yet.
Yes, they had her funeral today.
One day later?
That's what we were talking about. Now, I did get an email from a guy who said it's because she converted to Judaism when she was with Eddie Fisher.
Oh,
and the
God.
Jewish faith believe that your body must be in the ground.
Yes.
A certain amount of time after you actually die.
Okay. Have you seen this?
The Jews don't mess around with this.
Corby,
stuff.
Have you seen this bikini photo of Helen Mirren?
It's probably fake.
No, it's not.
Is it an updated one?
It's a red bikini, and she's
it's her head
her
on
age.
Kim Kardashian.
No. You can tell. I mean, she looks like a 65-year-old woman, but she is in shape, and she does have succulent breasts.
See? I mean, look how pretty she is.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, here she is. Here it is.
It's all right.
She got her kind of shading her eyes from the sun.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on. Oh,
there's
let
nothing
Papa have
wrong
some
with
of that.
That.
Damn, Helen Mirren.
What does GILF mean?
Come to
Grandma.
Great grandmother, I'd like to.
Anyway. Yeah, great.
Oh, GGILF.
Yeah.
That ain't bad, right?
Come on, Mike.
And I bet you she. You'd hit that, right?
Sure.
You'd hit that. Man. Now, what exactly does that mean?
We're not very couth on this show.
How old would you go?
What? How old
no,
would I go?
Would you go? All
right
you.
There. 65.
Sorry, Mark. What would you offer
so when
her,
she
Mike?
Turns 66, you wouldn't do that?
My range probably these days is from, on the low side, about, I'm thinking, 20.
That is
and on
40?
The high side,
whoa, hang on. Don't even
finish. Wait a minute. On the high side, probably about 85.
What a range you have. That range is older than you. Your range is older than you.
Yeah.
20, that means that's 40 years younger than you. That means right now I go to a local hospital as some lovely pride of whatever parent's eye there is, and I say, that's going to be mine.
You should get a load of some of her photos from when she was younger.
Would you
hook
up with a 21-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means when you were 21,
yeah,
having your first legal beer, there was a baby born
right
that same day.
I remember.
And you walked in there, looked at that baby, and said, I'll see you when you can drink. And then we'll do stuff.
Would you?
Right. Would I? Sure, yeah. It's would they. That's the problem.
Would they?
Yeah, they would. They would. See, because they're interested in older, mature men who have kind of...
Having their old guy phase?
Well,
because of
kind
the implication.
Oh, okay.
They've kind of
now
done something. They've kind of made a little bit out of themselves, you know?
Nah, that's more of a 26, 27. Once they've run through their...
21's too young.
All the guys that are working at the gas station and stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Or bueno.
For Mike, who do you think the hottest 85-year-old is right now, walking the earth?
Buzz Aldrin.
Charo.
Charo.
Zsa Zsa Gabor, I saw, is 93.
What's Queen Elizabeth?
Would you
I
have
always
to,
like her.
She's 100.
Would you have to hook up with Zsa Zsa? Didn't she just get her foot?
Just to say you did, yeah.
She got her foot amputated, didn't she?
What's Nancy Reagan?
Yeah. One of the Gabors.
Dude, Nancy Reagan's gross. What about Barbara Bush?
Yeah, but she was...
She's not...
Oh, she's Nancy
yeah,
Reagan,
Barbara
though.
Bush. She might be...
Would you have to go celebrity?
She might be 80.
Yeah, maybe.
Nancy Reagan?
Yeah.
If you're going that
Barbara
old,
Bush.
You do. You have
not
to go...
Not Barbara Bush?
You gotta
go
celebrity.
She has a little heft.
She's not doing it for me.
What if George is driving around right now?
Dunham?
Bush.
Oh.
Junior.
No. We're talking about his mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about his mom.
No, we're just talking about first ladies in general.
There's young Helen Mirren. about 25, 30 years ago.
What do you think
of
that?
You give me a list of 85-year-olds.
It's Caligula.
That's middle-aged Helen Mirren 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Not bad, though.
Yeah.
Holding up pretty nice.
Yeah.
You give me a list of 85-year-olds, and I'll tell you. Yes or no?
Okay, I'll do that. Top five hottest 85-year-olds.
You got to do that.
Rank them.
Okay.
Rank them.
I will.
Well.
Where do you rank the month of March?
Have you done top 5 months?
Oh, yeah. I did that a long time ago.
Oh.
That's
oh
old hat.
Don't yell at him.
Dumbest question.
March was...
I'm thinking it's not real high myself.
No, it was probably higher than February. It was probably maybe 8th.
Yeah.
8th or 9th, something
August,
like that.
The worst.
Yeah.
Have you
August
done the fingers?
August is the worst.
Yeah. Gotta be.
Done the fingers.
What's the best?
The best finger was the... This finger, the pointer.
Is that your
index finger?
The number one finger?
The number one finger. You do so much with it.
Like that. Like that?
Wow.
Some of that Helen Mirren, huh?
Which one are you looking
at?
That's got to be fake.
No, it's not.
What are you looking at? Because I'm looking at her pictures, too.
Fine girls.
Well, I just did. Look at that.
I wonder how old that is.
A little sassy, huh? That's
hey, since we're at the camp out, can you hook up RedTube, even though it's the...
I don't know. Let's see.
No, you know, you're not allowed to on the tickets website or server or whatever.
Well, you can do whatever
maybe
you want.
You're not allowed to.
You know how businesses are gay.
Yeah, let's avoid this conversation. How about that?
Oh.
All right.
Is that the homeless guy with the great voice?
Yeah, Ted Williams.
Let's say you need a hot beef injection. How old are you, Tiffany?
I'm well.
You're well. You're well what? How old?
34, and he fought...
Smiling. Oh, God, you brought up a Spurs fan. Out, Donnie, I swear to God.
Die,
get rid of her.
Die.
She brought up Smiling Pete, the biggest ass whip of a Spurs fan out there. Do not bring up the
you
Spurs.
You don't even have to say as
do
a
not
Spurs
bring
fan.
Up Smiling Pete.
Yeah, yeah.
That is an instant cutoff.
He has a reputation of Hitler around here.
What?
Oh, no.
Am I wrong?
Donnie, go ahead.
Where else are we going?
Okay, all right. Like,
next,
seriously. No, hang on, Donnie. Hang on, Donnie. If you had to... Be honest. If you had to choose...
I'd take Hitler
over
Smiling
Pete. Do you ever think maybe let's not
hang
talk?
On. No, hang on. I know the answer to this. I know the answer to this.
What is it?
If you had to have a conversation with one person, would you choose Hitler?
Hitler!
Yes! I would, too! I would choose
Hitler! Smiling Pete's got so much nothing. Are you kidding me? All right, where are we going next?
Poor Pete.
That's the taco period.
From the Kingdom of Nye, from the high desert, overlooking Lake Ticket, welcome back to Junior Coast to Coast. We're discussing the paranormal, the supernatural, and alien visitation. We'll be taking your phone calls momentarily. Joining me is an expert in all three areas. He has authored many books. It's Dr. Gordon Keith. Your specialty is anal probing, and I appreciate you joining us for this program.
Indeed, thank you for having me.
We're broadcasting tonight from the epicenter of alien activity. That is the southwest of the United States. And so many of these alien visitations end with anal probing. Doctor, any theories as to what the aliens are looking for and why they look there?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on tonight.
You're quite welcome.
I don't think it's any secret, and all my research has certainly borne this out as I've plowed through the majority of government records that have been released and some that have not been released, that I was shown by a top-level Army general who is no longer in the service due to his speaking out on this issue.
He knew too much.
He did. And through all my research, I've discovered that extraterrestrials, aliens, as you call them, love the butt.
Yeah!
Fascinating. They love...
Well, we're hearing not only perhaps ghosts from another dimension.
Or Corby by the fire.
With too much Woodford Reserve.
But The alien's obsession with the butt is not unlike a black man's. They just love looking at the butt. They love big butts. They cannot lie about that. They are obsessed with the human butt. They also, if you look in their browser history, all of their RedTube and YouPorn clips involve, well, for lack of a better term, the butt.
Fascinating. Let's talk to some of our listeners. Some listening in different dimensions. Some with experiences with the supernatural, the paranormal, and, of course, alien visitation. Mm-hmm. And first up is Wayne, west of the Rockies. Hi, Wayne. You're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Yes. Junior?
Yes.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yeah, there's just something. I've been holding in a long time, and I was wondering if I could just get it out in this forum, because I just don't have any of my, I can't tell my friends, I can't tell my family.
Courage. You know? Courage. You're in a safe zone here, Wayne. Courage. Show ahead.
Okay, you can call
We're
me.
We're beside a lake of trust.
Okay, I'll just go ahead and start. It's probably about 10. I was visiting my grandmother and up in...
She touched you?
No. I was up in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma, and she left me to go with her, my uncles or whatever, and to go hunting deer, and they were drinking heavily.
The deer?
And, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I believe he meant his uncles.
Indeed.
Not the deer.
But eventually we were supposed to be hunting deer, and there was some movement in the brushes. Mm-hmm. And my drunk uncle took a shot, and when we got there, I guess it was a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch of some sort.
They're the same thing.
When you say of some sort, what sort?
I don't know. I don't know what it was I saw, but it was...
Were you messing with Sasquatch?
No, not at all. I didn't even want to mess. I was 10. I didn't want to have a gun. It was my uncle's. It was just, there was so much blood. It was just a godforsaken bloodbath when we got up there.
If I may, Junior, I'd
yes,
like
doctor.
To be this man's interlocutioner. Sir, did this Sasquatch or Bigfoot look like a buffalo or a hog?
And I think it was what's been haunting my dreams is that it was like a female of some sort because it had these huge breasts.
Wayne, I think I know where you're going with this, and doctor, if I may.
Please.
Wayne, are you going to tell us that your uncles forced you to make love to the corpse of the Sasquatch?
That's proper
God,
protocol.
No. God, no.
God, no? Okay.
No. That's...
See, you offended the Bigfoots. When you don't make love to one of their fallen corpses, you offend the Big Feet.
And that's why you've been haunted ever since.
Yeah! Maybe so. I guess...
Wayne, thank you for your courage.
I think what needs to happen here in order to appease the big-footed community is that Wayne needs to offer his butt to the aliens.
Mike in Duncanville, or east of the Rockies, as it's known around here, you're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You are welcome.
I just want to preface this by saying back in the 50s, Duncanville was home to the Nike Hercules missiles. And those missiles in Duncanville weren't stored for the communist Russian. The reason the missiles were placed in Duncanville is because Duncanville is known to have a lot of extraterrestrial activity.
Mike?
Go ahead.
If I may, And this is actually true. When I was younger and we would visit my relatives in Lancaster and DeSoto, when we would drive down I-20 West, when you go through Duncanville or just to the north of Duncanville and it splits and then you have that huge vista of Grand Prairie and it goes down the hill,
you're freaking me out, man.
We were always told that where the highway splits, that big thing in the middle, that that's where extraterrestrials captured in this area were taken, and that's where the government kept them. Is that what you're referring to, Mike?
You're absolutely right, Junior. And that's basically why they put the missiles in Duncanville, because of that vista. And that vista is hollowed out. And there's lots of alien remains, alien spaceships, and other alien things and stuff that are entombed in there.
I don't doubt that for a moment.
So true.
Now, whenever I was about...
That's okay, Mike. Thank you.
Whenever I was about 6 years old...
Yvonne, I'm looking up. I'd like to tell a story. You mentioned your experience when you were younger.
Dr. Keith, go ahead, please.
When I was younger...
Do you mind if I sit in on this and just listen? I'm not really going to talk.
I was telling my story.
I know. I want to listen. Do you mind if I listen?
No, go ahead. Well, when I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
But I'm
now,
sorry.
Now those days are gone.
I have a question. And, I'm sorry. Are you singing a Beatles song?
I haven't finished my story.
I have a question.
The aliens did some stuff to my butt.
I have a question.
That's the end of the story.
Who are you?
What?
Who are you?
I'm just an old friend.
Ah, he's welcome.
Very mysterious. Look, we don't exactly.
You know what he is? He's a shadow person.
He is.
Our view of this new voice on the program is just of a shadow behind a smoky fire
that I built
here at Lake Ticket. Mm. Let's go to Weasel, east of the Rockies. You're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Junior Coast to Coast, the greatest segment ever on the Ticket, has finally returned.
Thank you, Weasel.
I do have to say, I do work for the Department of Homeland Security, so I'm going to take it serious here for a second. And I can confirm that aliens do exist. And they are illegal in this country, and they come from the Sombrero Galaxy.
You know that is not the kind of alien we're talking about.
Okay. Let me move on then, because I have a couple points, because it's been 2 years since I've been on Junior Coast to Coast.
Okay.
First of all, I want two quick questions, and then I'll hang up and listen to your answers. Have you seen the new video of Sasquatch in North Carolina that nice gentleman took? And also, Junior, do you think we should still be sending, NASA should still be sending probes to Uranus? Or is that a waste of time?
See, that's childish. That's childish.
Yeah, we're on the lookout for prank callers to this program, and they will not be tolerated. Thank you, Weasel, if that is indeed your name.
Jeez. All right, here's my real story of my real unidentified flying object. This happened when I was probably about 19 years of age. And I walked outside of my parents' home in a very affluent North Dallas neighborhood.
Oh.
Actually, wasn't that affluent. We wished it was, though. And it was nighttime. And I'm walking with my high school girlfriend at the time, that extended a little bit beyond high school. And we're walking out to her car.
What were you wearing?
Some kind of cut-off shorts. Anyway.
God.
And so we walked to her car. My parents kind of live on a hill. They're at the top of the road.
Were you itchy?
And I look to my right, and I notice what appears to be, it looked like a half circle, but it was glowing orange.
How high in the sky?
It was pretty low, not far above the treetops, but it was about a mile and a half away.
Was it the moon?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, God, the moon is freaking... And this was big. This wasn't like, you know, something small. And I said, God, man, look at the moon. Look at that. Is that the moon? And she goes, no, that's not the moon. And I go, how do you know? You're a dumb bitch.
Uh-oh.
And she said, because there's the moon. And they're, like, in a different part of the sky. It was clearly the moon. And we could not figure out what this thing was.
Was it moving?
No, it didn't appear to be. It was just there. And then, as we're watching it and trying to figure out what it was, it looks like it either retreats rapidly or it just got smaller and smaller and disappeared. Point of light disappeared.
Wow, really?
Yeah. That was my only encounter with something that I could not identify in the sky. But, it absolutely clearly was not the moon because we could observe both of them.
Based on my expertise, that sounds like a spaceship from Neptune. Or you may have been time traveling.
I don't think it's either of those. I think you're... Well, I should say I don't think I was time traveling. I do think it was a spaceship from Neptune full of Martians.
Right. All right, there might be one more segment of Junior Coast to Coast coming up, and we'll take a few more calls.
Are you confused on where Martians come from?
214-787-1310. As we continue from the high desert here at the ticket camp out.
Question the validity of this.
In just a moment.
We're going to pray to Hitler next.
Welcome back to the Kingdom of Nai. High somewhere at an undisclosed location in the desert southwest. It's Junior Coast to Coast. This will be our final segment because coming up at 9 o'clock, Corby hosts the Hitler Seance. We're talking about the supernatural, the paranormal, and alien visitation.
I'm sorry, Craig.
Special guest, Dr. Gordon Keith.
For some reason, I just thought I heard you mention that at 9 o'clock, Corby was going to have a Hitler seance.
Yes, that's what I was told to promote by Mr. Corby.
You mean he's...
What?
He's having a seance to raise
the
Hitler.
Ghost of Hitler.
Are you guys back
yes.
on this again?
Yes.
George just walked out.
What are
in the
you
middle of that sentence.
Talking about...
Or is it just Hitler sponsors a seance?
Tune in at 9 o'clock and find
right?
out.
Put a headset on, George.
Let's take some more calls now.
George, is that a whole bottle of wine?
As we go to unidentified caller west of the Rockies, you're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Junior, Gordo.
Yes.
Hey.
I believe I'm about to have the most important call, not just of this evening, but possibly in the history of radio.
Wow. Okay.
I became suspicious a few months ago when my sweet, precious girlfriend began emitting sounds of wind from her region. And so one evening, I stayed awake, and the aliens entered our apartment while she was sleeping, and I cornered them. And I asked them, what are you doing, man?
Huh?
And they told me that the Obama regime is plotting the end of humanity by hiring the aliens to anally probe our women and insert self-powered trumpets
what?
In their rears.
That part's true.
These were aliens and not Tea Party members?
No, well, they're both.
What did they look like?
They look like a combination of Ron Paul and Smeagol from Lord of the Rings.
I've heard that
and,
before.
And their simple plan is to quench the sexual desires of the male species... By
making women do that?
And therefore, we will not repopulate the planet, and our species will be wiped from the Earth.
It's colonization, gentlemen.
Colonization?
It's colon and colonization. It's a horrible colonic.
You're exactly right. This was the most important call ever made to radio.
And I must say, I am not a hired actor.
I'm going to question
this
that.
This is real, genuine radio.
Oh, I believe you.
I appreciate
we invoke
gentlemen.
Your presence now.
Thank you for your courage.
Oh.
Let's go to undisclosed caller.
Wait, hang on, Jake. I'm going to promote what actually is coming up at 9 o'clock. It's the Mike Reiner Power Hour.
With special guest Hitler?
Where Mike will take a shot of beer every minute for 1 hour.
He can't do that.
There's no
way.
You
need to not make it. You need to make it that he has to drink a beer every 15 minutes.
No, Gordon, it's six beers. That's it. That's not that big a deal.
Yeah, he can't. He won't be able to do it every hour. I mean, every minute.
Every hour.
Every minute. He'll forget. He'll get to talking.
Oh, my. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Most merciful.
What? Hello, yes, west of the Rockies.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call this evening. Big fan.
What is your experience with the paranormal or supernatural or alien visitation?
This better be the truth, okay?
They're
actually,
all the truth, Corby.
In God's eyes, it's all the truth.
It's honest truth.
Okay.
I took a trip to Wyoming a few years back.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something, sir? I've been to Wyoming. Go ahead.
Okay. Good for you. It's a nice place, is it not?
Jackson's Hole.
I was working for the state and decided to go hunting with a few buddies of mine that I met out there. And we were walking through the woods. We parked in an open field. It was a night pretty much like tonight. I'm not sure what y'all's evening is like down there, but right now the stars are clear as they can be.
It's pretty Hitler-y.
We were walking through the woods with our rifles, and we kept hearing these noises. There were loud cracks up against the trees or up against rocks. I'm not really sure. They came from several areas, and we decided we didn't know if we were being followed.
Can anybody tell a story anymore?
I mean, my God. Look, I know this is tough for you to tell, but get on with it.
Gentlemen, on this show, we treat our callers with respect.
Indeed.
If you will allow me. Will you get on with it?
Were you anally
probed? Did you SGM get, Jake? Is he gone?
Yeah. Sorry.
I wanted to hear the end of his story.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't know if it'd ever come.
Huh. All right, let's go to the wild card line.
That's you got it. You said. Nailed it. You nailed it.
Yeah. Wild card line, you're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Because did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
Hello, wild card line.
Hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead with your story.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, no. I guess the premise is I'm an alien or something or some crap. But, can I say crap?
Wow. He's just totally diminishing everything you're doing,
Craig.
No, no.
Gordon had to leave.
He's last you. I don't want to go into this whole 15-minute thing. Anyway.
Are you a shadow person?
He's last you. Also, so Obama is a failed bit that we did, as you all know. And me being an alien in this. So, Obama's aliens abducted many of the staff. And we've had a different thing.
I can smell a prank caller from a mile away. Get this guy off the air.
Nice work, Jake.
Oh, please. Ghost, rise.
Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Hello, Mr. Miller.
East of the Rockies.
Thank you, Mr. Miller, for your courage. And I hear Dr. Keith is there as well.
No, he's actually not. It's just me now, so go on.
Is this the shadow person?
Yes, that is the shadow person.
Yes, it is. Don't identify me by name, please.
Okay. Well, I want to get right into it. I'm a little nervous, and I'm a suffering mouth breather, so bear with me.
Okay.
I've had a type of possession from a long-dead famous lady, and it's tearing down my family. I can
Liz
only
Taylor?
I'm sorry?
Liz Taylor?
No, no, I'll get to that.
What?
This is very difficult. I'll get to who it is. It's tearing my family apart because I can only sit on chairs and avoid. When I lie on a couch, I can hear her screaming. It's the ghost of the couch lady.
The couch lady? What does the couch lady do?
Oh, my God. What is this?
Her skin was grafted into a couch as her family fed her, and she died. And Dr. Keith told us about this story years
ago. Yes.
Get this cord off of it. God!
No, I'm just really having problems now.
Because
when I have blackouts, I've sometimes fed the couch spaghetti.
All right, so, Junior, a real rotting deer carcass was just thrown on Corby.
By Gordo?
Not one of those stuffed...
Caller, thank you for
this
your story. I hope you're okay with the couch lady. Okay, now what happened?
Found in the woods or whatever. Look, you got to see this thing.
Is it fresh?
No, it's dried out.
It's almost petrified.
But there's still a lot of...
Where is that idiot? Get in here!
There was something eating at it earlier. Turn on Rich's mic, please. Rich is over here to the right of Corby.
Get down here.
I'm here.
There were two buzzards eating.
No, get down here.
Rich says that... Rich said he saw it this morning being picked at by two buzzards.
Wow, so it's fairly fresh.
Do I need to go take a shower or something now?
What do you mean?
Easy. I need to get that.
Dump that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd get rid of that.
What are you talking about?
It is compound.
What are you doing?
What are you talking about? Were you not holding it up? Were you not displaying it proudly?
It's all over me.
It's not all over you.
It's not real!
Yeah, he picked it up while we were out there.
It's a prop!
When we went out riding around after dinner about an hour ago...
Don't listen to him, he's rich!
There were two buzzards that were on it, that thing, when we drove up.
I've had a few drinks.
However, I wasn't aware he was going to throw it in your lap. He had another prank in mind for somebody.
Right, right. We just picked that up. It's real.
All right, this wraps up Junior Coast to Coast, since the show has been hijacked by the alcohol people. I want to thank all of the callers.
And a D-bomb's been dropped.
All of the listeners. Please read my book, The Quickening, and the sequel, The Slowening. And until the next compound or campout, I'm Junior Miller. Be careful out there. Keep your eyes towards the heavens. And your eyes on your anus. Good night and good morrow.
God!
No, I'm just really having problems now.
Sack of crap!